Hello again, everybody.
Hiya.
I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm Jack. Hey, it's Christmas.
Hurry.
Oh, God, that's enough juice for him.
Yeah, we need to really right, Christmas so up the Christmas scene.
That's a pretty strong fucking goofy here, by
yeah,
the
one chipolata Christmas and a pork sure. pie.
Lovely
it's Christmas. Like Christmas at Richie and Eddie's house. Now, what we're doing here yeah. is, first of all, Craig's turning off his phone.
I am. I'm going to take a photograph of the repast first so that folk can see it.
Yeah, whack that there.
We'll get that up on there.
Yep. And this is a plan that we had a year ago, but we've only just brought to fruition.
We're lazy bastards.
And, we didn't know quite how to do it. So
no,
what we're going to do is we're going to risk the wrath of the professional production company who we're ripping off here and just play the sound.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to challenge us on that, then, well, nobody will listen to it anyway.
No,
but in any case.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play this Christmas special. And this is called Creek Treat.
Yeah, so we know
what
it is.
We know what it is, and I'm quite excited about seeing it again.
Yeah, it's great.
But what we're going to do is we're going to play it, and it's quite uncharacteristic of what it is at the outset.
Yeah, and we've pixelated out details. At the beginning.
We've pixelated out Craig details. Yeah. And then what's going to happen is we're going to see how long it takes for Craig to understand what we're watching. Yeah.
But you will enjoy
why,
this.
Why,
you will enjoy
why do you think I need to watch this under these circumstances?
Just for fun.
Because
it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's
like a Christmas
to me.
Tell you
no,
why?
It's like a Christmas
why?
Miracle.
It's because I think you will be delighted.
Okay, well,
when it finally hits.
When you work out what this is.
Because you would be mad not to.
I think you'll be delighted.
Okay,
I think you might have seen it in a long time.
It would be like get one of those presents that we're not quite sure. It might go down well or might not.
Yes.
It's like getting a tin of gingerbread relish for your Christmas.
So when we put this out on Friday, is it going to say what it is?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
Or will it just say Craig's Christmas treat?
Craig's Christmas treat.
Because has it got Nina Hartley in
well,
it?
Well, it's
not got Nina Hartley in it.
She might be there somewhere in the background.
She could be.
So,
right, without
so
any
now,
further ado,
any further ado, we're okay. going to press play.
Yay.
So Craig, you can just talk us through what's going on here.
Right, okay, we open on our... A mix into a very nice looking suburban house.
Do you like my pixelation there?
Yeah.
That's very impressive actually. How's
it's
that?
It's not so, sort of not quite like Sean Bean's Rapey Swan House.
No. It's so a suburban
that's,
sort of
that's the name of the
that's
thing.
The name of the programme. Pixelated.
So what's in this one?
We have a little tree.
But we need to hear the music. All the incidental music and everything.
The incidental music is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the train that there's a wee hint.
Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah, there's little subtle hints at the outset.
What kind
is
of
it
thing?
Is it Malcolm and Wise's Night Train to Terror?
No, it's good. It's worth watching.
Okay.
What kind of
Night
thing
Train to
make
Murder.
You think so far?
I think it's...
Nice lingering
Bristol.
Shots. Lovely country house.
Someone's come in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fag on the go. No, he's not.
That's no, that's just coming out of the train. That's how swanky it is. Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Who's that, man?
It's like a cross between Jack Hawkins and Ed Stewart.
Yes, yeah. He's sat at a desk now.
I'm considering murder.
There's lots of Bristol paraphernalia for a football.
There's my lovely wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I did love
who's that actor again?
I don't remember.
I don't
oh.
Is this the start of the programme?
Yeah.
It's the start of the programme.
He's got a train.
Oh, and there's my son or daughter, I'm not too sure.
It's not Parkinson.
No, I know. But that's the way I think he sounds.
Oh, he's a bit of a heart attack.
So you look at like...
How can you possibly tell, Craig?
Better have a drink
of a heart attack.
Better have a drink of whiskey.
He's got his hand on his heart and looks a bit...
Now, have a look at that phone. He's rich.
Yeah.
Also
look at him, though. Look at him.
Yeah. He's also into football.
Yeah.
What do we think about him as a rich man?
He's a self-made man.
Kind of, probably true.
Hence the phone.
Is he a gangster?
Ah, what's he writing? What's going on here, do you think, now?
He's writing down with a very gold pen a series of numbers.
He is
it perhaps a safe deposit? A safe?
No flies on this boy, is there?
No, there's not. Can't get anything past you.
Starring
somebody from Minecraft.
Yes, that's right.
It's actually a very...
And there's the son or daughter.
All right, okay. So
this from YouTube.
This is a sort of prologue, isn't it, before the real film?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be a chase to find what was in the...
Yeah, I see.
Some kind
really
of...
Bells,
there's no flies on you.
No,
it's well seen you're the chief registrar of the hospital now.
I'm very impressed by the house. I would like a house like that. It's nice, yeah.
See, I thought you might be going down a thriller-esque route here, but you're obviously not thinking that.
Right, hang on.
Well, this is getting a bit weird now.
No. Going to put it into her locket.
Alright, I see. It's not got Stuart Hall in it,
you keep that safe, sweetheart. You know, don't let your mother know.
Don't let your mother know.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, okay.
Good night, sweetheart.
So I presume the mother's going to be a stepmother or something, who's a young flopsy that he's not very impressed by.
No.
Could be.
Bristol, is that important to it?
No.
No?
Oh, no.
He's a bad boy now, look.
Huh? He's on his knees now.
Yeah.
Get on the knees.
Shag me, love. Just shag me.
Well, that happened in...
I think he's about to give birth to the Enterprise.
Footballer's wife, yep. Didn't it?
Oh, and here's the young wife who's no better than she should be.
Oh, hello. She's got two skirts
black
on.
And, yeah. Two.
Cheryl Baker.
Cheryl Two Skirts Baker.
Look.
Oh, there's my pills. Give me one of my pills.
I know that actor.
Give me one of my pills.
Look what she's doing.
No.
She's putting the pills down the front of her bra. Of her,
yep.
And he's going to peg it.
Oh.
He's
going to peg it.
That was actually just recreated in an episode of Footballers' Wives. There was a gangland boss on
nice,
the right.
Nice cover.
Jack South. And we recognise that cemetery, don't we?
From Theatre of Blood.
And from Steptoe and Sunride Again.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, so it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it the empty box, the wrong box?
The wrong box? No. Christ, no. It's something,
the hat, the cat.
It's something worse. More. The hat, the pat.
Is this
hat.
A good thing?
It's a great thing.
You need to be watching this. You need to keep watching this way soon. Because we're getting, we're getting quite close to the piece of music. Like to hum to you the last few days.
And this was a big TV production, by the way.
Here we go. Now you're going to get this.
Right, listen. Come
on.
Who's in that car, Craig?
George Cole. Is it Minder?
Badong.
What is it?
What is it? What is it, Craig?
Is it the Minder Christmas special?
But what is it, Craig? What is it?
What have we seen?
Is it What Do We Get for Christmas for Hardin
Bones? Oh, that's a song.
Is it the safe?
No, look, he's got a microwave.
Maybe he doesn't remember the name of that thing. I think
but you'll find it. You'll notice. That's what the player fucking clues.
Yeah. The music's amazing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't know what they mean. But
it's all right, you'll get it. You'll get it. There's plenty of it. Well, I think when they actually get onto it,
But maybe he doesn't. I thought he'd remember what it was called.
No. You'll find out. We're on a journey, literally and figuratively.
Now, the problem
is he playing Arthur Daly?
Yeah, it's Arthur Daly.
Yeah, it's Arthur Daly.
Right. Is it
look who this is.
The road?
No, just we'll find out. There's young Carl Hyman.
Carl Hyman.
So we're quite. This is early 80s then.
1985, Christmas Day.
Christmas Minder.
No. You need to get the name right. But you'll get it. You'll get it when you see.
Come on, you must have watched this. Here we go.
I've got it.
Yeah. Go on.
It's Minder on the Orient Express.
Yay!
Fuck, that was buried deep and you winked.
So now you're...
Oh, brilliant. I've not seen this since it was on.
Yep.
This was a big deal.
Front page of the TV Times.
Absolutely,
Christmas TV Times.
Beaten in the ratings by the Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And which one was that?
85? Might have been to Hull and back, actually.
And look who's in the background.
Jesse Birdsall.
Jesse Birdsall.
Michael, so why did you think I had to see this?
Because it's amazing.
Yeah, I've not seen this since it was on.
Oh, no, what's he going to do?
Who was that actor again? He was in lots of things, in adverts and things, wasn't he?
Now, Chris, what is the best sweet assortment you can get at Christmas?
The best what?
Assortment of sweets that you can get.
The best chocolate assortment?
Yeah.
Oh, that's number one. That depends entirely who you are.
What's number one?
Did you like the way that dawned on my face there?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Do you mean chocolate assortment?
Yeah. What's the best?
College Street.
Okay, and so what's the second best?
Roses.
Yay!
They say that roses grow on you. Roses grow on you.
Boom. Thank you very much.
So
I mean, did they work backwards from the title, do you think?
What, Mind Your Own Business?
Yeah, because it's such a brilliant title.
It is a brilliant title. And also, it is, I suppose, a kind of a pun.
Well, it is a pun.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah, because it's because... Well, 1985...
It's not a great pun, though, is it?
Well, now, the other thing is...
Look at those lovely roses.
Now, Murder on the Orient Express had been the big Christmas film, I think, about 2 years before. So I reckon that's probably what set it all in train.
Oh, Wow. Now.
See that?
Can I also tell you?
Well, like that.
Susan entry. George.
What have you gone for there, by the way, Craig?
I've gone for the purple one, which is the nutty one.
You know, hazel and caramel.
Yeah. There is a problem with the roses nowadays.
Have they rebranded them?
Well, they don't don't put them in individual. They put them in little individual packets now instead of wrappers.
You've gone for country fudge.
No, like me.
Who's that actress?
Stokesy Gray.
That's a very good hands-on tip, doesn't you?
Before I forget, because I keep meaning to say this, this was meant to be the last ever
Minder
episode. See that?
See that badger on the left?
Uh-huh.
He's a trouting.
Is he?
No. It's hard to see their faces, right, isn't it?
I think.
So this was supposed to wrap it all up?
Yeah. He's a trouting. His dad is a famous actor.
For Christmas for her in Dole. Don't give me your problems, because it's this one's yours. Did they work it in?
No.
So the big question I have about this is, why didn't they use the proper Minder theme tune?
For a second, I thought that was Rita Tushman.
No.
But you're right, it's Susan George.
No, it's not Susan George.
Isn't it?
No. George. I don't know who it is. She's bonny enough.
So why didn't they use proper Minder theme tune?
Oh, no, she's too young to be Susan George. Mm-hmm. Why don't they use it? Because it's a Christmas special.
Right.
It might have been Susan George, but some kind of pixelated out the titles. Yeah,
sorry. Needs to happen there. So do you think you watched Minder on the Orange Express?
Yeah, I think I recorded it and watched
On the Frozen Horses.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. But I think, I mean, my parents didn't like Minder.
Really?
So I used to watch it in my room on my little black and white portable, so I probably recorded it.
Like Minder?
Yeah, I know. You know what my dad's like? He's a queer hawk.
Mm.
All sorts of things my dad doesn't
like.
Your
mum liked it though.
Why didn't he like Minder?
Yeah, I don't know. But there's all sorts of things my dad just said, I don't like that. What else? Well, obviously the King Singers, we discussed that before. That's
fair enough.
They gave him the fucking pip, famously. Yeah.
Do you know what the name of the first ever Minder episode is?
Because
for some reason I do, and I don't know.
Battle for the Planet?
It's called Gunfight at the OK Laundrette.
That's right.
It's a good episode as well.
It's also a great title because it completely sets the tone for what the series was. And when it was in, it's good. It was fucking good. When they got that fat bloke in, can we bother with it? And Gary, what's his name?
Gary Webster.
Yeah,
I thought it was okay, actually, Gary Webster.
It was all right. You're both wrong.
What's her name?
Don't know.
That lady.
Pixelated out, man.
Okay.
Oh, look, they put the Hazel Whirl in one.
I know, it's weird, isn't
it? That's very odd.
That's odd. But the rest of them are in these little sashes.
Is it so you know to avoid them?
No, they're nice then. I like the naughty ones. You don't like
naughty ones? I'm not about maybe it's for people with nut allergies.
No, I'm not about nutties. Oh, do you think so?
Mm.
How interesting. Mm.
She's
so
nice.
So yeah, no, I think in our family we definitely sat down to watch this.
So they've gone to the safety deposit box and all is as a football pitcher.
I presume that's the girl grown up.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yes. And did you find...
Now look who that is.
Which one?
It's Adam Faith.
It's Adam Faith.
Oh, God. Arch cunt Adam Faith.
Why would you call him that?
He's a really unpleasant character. He became a real Thatcherite.
Yeah.
Did he now?
Playing the market, I know business.
But I can make everybody a millionaire.
Yeah, and it turned out he didn't. He got bankrupted, didn't he? And people were bankrupted because of him.
Wow.
But he was one of those people who basically just sold stocks and shares.
Yeah.
Bought and sold stocks and shares, but then somehow liked to pretend that's a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of what actually is, which is gambling.
Yeah. And famously died after saying... Channel 5 shit, innit? And he dropped dead.
Did he?
Yeah.
What you mean, like, you think there was a curse where he would die the minute he said something sensible?
Apparently, is that one called Brazilian Darkies? That's a terrible name for a chocolate.
It is as well.
It is. Go eat it, though.
Get it off.
What's the orange one? That's not a nutty one, is it?
It's called Orange Sambo.
No, I was at university with...
It's just called Tangy Orange Cream.
I was at university with...
With Glenn Houston?
No, Glenn Edwards.
Glenn Edwards.
You're obsessed with Glenn Houston.
I'm obsessed with Glenn Houston.
I was at university.
With the booby doos.
Glenn Edwards.
With Glenn Edwards' son, Tom.
Really?
I don't know what ever happened to him. He was quite a handsome boy.
Did you run the pub?
He looked rather like...
what's
his name from Aztec Cameron? Roddy Frame.
Right.
He used to wear a leather jacket, a white t-shirt and jeans. And he was basically the sole member of the Revolutionary Communist Party at the university. So he'd get up and talk at things and then we'd go, boo, you know, just for a laugh.
No, wasn't the Winchester a club rather than a pub?
It was
the Winchester, it was a
private drinking club.
Mm. Which seemed always a bit odd at the time. But probably not, because London, central London anyway, was riddled with drinking clubs.
Uh-huh.
But they were not terribly well known elsewhere.
No, it was because the licensing was shit, wasn't it? It was like...
a pub close in the afternoon and then two. Close at night. You know?
Yeah.
I was whereas drinking that, clubs could be open all night.
Yeah.
And who is this lady there? Because she was very familiar to
no,
me.
That's...
Oh, is she Amanda Pays, is she?
She's someone like that. I was thinking of Amanda.
Yeah, she was.
Amanda what?
Amanda Hugginkiss.
Amanda Pays, yeah.
Yeah. She was quite big at the time.
She was, yeah.
She was like the sort of person that would turn up in like those Volkswagen Golf adverts.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's making changes.
It was like
everybody feels the same. He's a very grumpy man.
Would you?
Is it Alan Price?
He's a very grumpy man.
We know a man called that. But yeah, it's him, isn't it? The Geordie. Yeah, he's a very grumpy man.
Would you not get Amanda Pays if Suzanne Danielle was beyond your budget?
Yeah.
So there's the wee look. There's the wee train carriage. See the wee train carriage behind there.
Stan Danielle is, of course, married to...
Daniel?
No, what's his name?
Glenn Houston!
No, Sam Torrance.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Lars is on Sam Torrance.
No,
yeah,
why?
Yeah, married to for a very long time.
Do you think they met on probably some... Like,
I think they met on Pro Celebrity Golf.
Fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to suggest it would be You Bet.
Oh, when I see you love you, you see you better.
What? Do you want to bet in it?
You bet.
Then you better get on it.
What's the next bit?
No, can you just say you bet?
Okay,
now, don't fret. Get set. Are you ready?
You bet.
Well done.
That was good.
So you want to be T-O-P. You want to make it...
B-I-G, was it?
You don't want to be an F.
L-O-P.
E-R.
So you want to be a cunt.
Killed by
you. So you want to be a cunt.
Who presented that? You just had to copy me.
We
did it all way.
Was it not Bill Oddie?
That was King Bale and Greyjoy.
What? Who presents You Want to Be Top?
Mr. Bennett.
No, that was You Should Be So Lucky.
Oh, that shit wasn't. It was not the shim.
Maybe it was, huh?
No.
You
no.
Should Be So, You Should Be So.
You Should Be So Lucky.
That was in between cleaning up the corridors full
well,
of
Well, it
was
in between cleaning up for Tony Hart and then lighting all the candles in the murder room in Hancock Palace.
Call back. Edinburgh's Patrick Malahide.
As Mr. Rycott, Mr. Chisholm.
See, this is, I think it was only three occasions where they had Ronnie Rycott and Chisholm in the same
episode.
So this was very exciting to me when I was a kid, to see actually Ronnie Rycott and Chisholm together.
Yeah.
There was an amazing thing happened. Of course, we cursed poor
the
Peter
baby
Vaughan
Jesus was born
to death after the first
moment. Oh, yeah, we did,
yeah.
That's a shame. We should have done that.
And he died the day after we recorded that.
Yeah,
he did.
And the obituaries mentioned that he was only ever in, was it three episodes of Porridge?
Was he? Was he grouty? Is that
yeah,
he was
astounding.
Really? He's in the one. There's the one where they set fix the boxing fight.
I actually hope it's true, because what an actor to have made such an impact in
three
episodes.
Well, he's in the film.
Yeah, but even so, to have made such an impact in only a few episodes is pretty impressive.
Was the one with the boxing match?
Do you like the car?
That's
a Simca, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it a Capri? It's a Capri. It's a Mark 1 Capri.
So to
that's a Mercedes. And the one on the left is a Fiat 128.
Right. There's Carl Harmon again. And Jesse Bertel.
Yeah.
Now, would you not like to be menaced by Carl Harmon and Jesse Bertel? I mean, if they came through the door...
Could you be menaced?
I don't really know if you could. Not with short sleeve shirts on.
It's like one would put a small... a bogging device on you, the other one paint you.
Would this be before he was in Brush Strokes? Because of
85?
Oh, I don't know. They must be.
No, I think it might have been around the same time.
Because of you. It's a good record, that.
Yeah, it was a great
because of you. Ooh. Oh, when you love nature, you love nature. You love nature, you love nature. You love nature, don't you?
Jazz trumpet fiddle. I was
fantastic.
We brought up the musical content of these.
The public loves it, so why not?
Yesterday, I was just outside Royal Sheen Square, sitting having a cup of tea with a young friend who I used to work with.
And
there was a woman. There was a woman further along, very busy, obviously.
That's funny.
I bet she was.
And she was playing the clarinet. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She was playing the sort of Christmassy jazz clarinet kind of thing, which was perfectly pleasant.
Yep.
And some nasty wee ticket of a woman and her manky daughter walked past. And I heard the woman say, "Oh, for fuck's sake, she can't play that fucking violin for shite."
That's funny, actually. I was coming in to meet you yesterday on the train in from the Sioux side. I got on the train and it was fucking heaving and it was boiling hot, as it always is at this time of year. And I tried to squeeze past the guy, but we were both too big for me to get past him. So he came out and I squeezed, because no one was sitting in this seat over by the sort of door that goes into the front of the train. As soon as I sat down, I worked out why. Three fucking Glasgow dafties sitting beside me. Mum and dad talking like that, telling one another. And the boy sitting opposite me, I mean, he looks like Chris Needham looks like now. Wasn't he good?
Now, Dennis Waterman, how old was Dennis Waterman here?
Well, he must be, I'm going to say, early 40s, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, because he looks fucking older than early 40s.
And his,
Well, of course, famously, he was older than John Thaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
John Thaw was only in his early 30s in the Sweeney.
Yeah. No way.
I think you'll find he was, sir.
So I think, isn't this Terry in one of his perennial, I'm doing a job that's got nothing to do?
Yeah, he was doing that. Yeah. I've had enough, Arthur.
Oh, look, here we go.
You're a wanker, Arthur. It has to be said, Arthur was a bit of a cunt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. He dropped him in the shit all the time. Yeah.
And he isn't this. So here we go. Look,
here we go.
Do you know, and one of the things...
Batter.
That, he's very good. He's very good at doing the fighting, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He does a good fight.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
She's going to get away. Look, he's taking quite a hiding,
isn't
he?
Taking licks.
Oh, here comes another one. Where'd he come from, that dude?
Dirty bastards.
They're roughing him up. Amanda Pace doesn't give a shit.
No.
Off she goes.
She's away at your ribberies.
Oh, I don't know. I get the thing she might have been in sort of American action TV series.
Yeah. Do you know who I was thinking about the other day? Who totally disappeared off the radar? Alison Doody.
Who is Alison Doody?
Doody.
She played Ilsa Schneider.
Yeah, Indiana Jones and the Dad.
She's very sexy. She's really good in it. She's funny.
Wow.
And she just did not go anywhere in her career, really. She ever has a hat. I was looking her up. She's 50 now.
Mm-hmm.
She still looks lovely, very attractive. And she has an amazing habit of marrying billionaires.
Well, then.
Irish billionaires. Wow. She was married to Tony O'Reilly's son for a while. Mm. And now she's hooked up with some Middle Eastern Lothario Tycoon type.
He's in quite good shape for having just taken a bit of a beating, though, isn't he?
Do we like Dennis Waterman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I like Dennis Waterman. Yeah.
It was a series that was massively promoted at the time, but I enjoyed a lot, was On the Up.
Oh, yeah.
But, like a lot of comedy series, it started in the new year.
Uh-huh.
It was promoted massively right over Christmas and whatever. And the stars were him and, I think, Belinda Lang was his ex-wife and whatever.
Wow.
But, like a lot of these things, it was the subsidiary characters that became the stars, which was his best mate from when he was a kid.
Because
remember, on the Up, Dennis Waterman had become a millionaire through a limousine firm.
Ah, okay.
And his best mate was his driver, who had been known since he was a kid, who was Sam Kelly.
And of course,
the epic Mrs. Good Wembley, topic. Who was John Sims, who was his cook.
It has to be said...
Just the one!
You see, if you go into a programme and they say, we see you be sidekick, we've cast Sam Kelly, you'd be like, no, I'm not happy about this.
No, absolutely, because he's going to get every single scene.
Yeah.
And any scene that was in the kitchen or in the house, you'd be like, there'd be something going on, and then John Sims would walk in and you go, like, well, I don't actually know who else is in this scene.
Yeah.
So, Chris, Rycroft.
It's Taffy.
Rycroft or Chisholm?
Who's
your favourite?
Rye Cotter or Chisholm?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Chisholm is always the best one. Yes.
Alan Greyjoy.
Very great sneery.
From Edinburgh.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he still alive, Patrick Malloy?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in.
Yeah, no, that's Game what I'm saying. He's really in Game of Thrones.
He got killed in Game of Thrones.
Is he good in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, great. He's not in it very much, but he's great.
Oh.
He's a great actor. Turned up in a lot of sort of American blockbusters in the sort of 90s and whatnot. He'd turn up as sort of Russian or gangster or things like that. Did very well.
That Arthur's off. So what they're now trying to do here, just to fill in, is they're trying to give Arthur a subhina, is that
right?
Yeah,
they're trying to serve him.
Because essentially he witnessed that crime and he doesn't want to take it because then he knows that the gangsters will be after him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what that's about. So we get some good business about that.
Who is that woman?
No. What do we think of the length of Terry's hair?
Great. Why not? He pulls it off, man.
Why not? I agree.
Especially with a pair of slacks and a polo shirt.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
There's a lot of Dave in this. Dave wasn't in very many episodes of Minder.
No, he wasn't. No.
Or if he was, he was only in for a moment.
Yeah. And sort of impressions would always have him saying, yes, Alpha.
Leave it out, yes, Alpha. Oh, come on, leave. Alpha, leave it out.
Leave it out.
Come on, Alpha, leave it out.
Quite good to impression of, isn't he?
He also, of course, dies horribly in Get Carter.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no, you didn't!
I think my lawyers will be in touch with you.
That's very impressive.
I can do it. Angry Michael Caine.
You can, yeah. Can
you? Oh, no!
So, this is a rare
see,
song.
See, early Michael Caine's easier than late Michael Caine.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
but Angry Michael Caine's okay for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So, here's Arthur's been out.
Arthur's right? been sleeping rough.
Yeah.
I see who's and at this point, I'm just looking up our hand now,
so Terry's got some tickets for the Orient Express.
He's got some tickets for the Orient Express.
Because he
right.
had that hot stuff out.
Yes, yep. Of course.
In the scrap. Who is it?
Mark.
Who's the
Amanda Pease. She was in L.A. Law.
Ah.
And she was married to Corbin Benson. I don't know if she still is or not.
Is that the L.A. Law music? I never watched that though. American
Ellie Law was quite good, and it's a callback yeah. to Jimmy Smith was in it, wasn't it?
Now the tradition of before Doctor Who,
yeah.
I'm trying to think, was there any other drama series that had regular Christmas episodes outside the soaps?
No,
so
no, but
the
soap.
Oh
no, sorry.
Can I tell you, she's still married to Corbin Benson, nearly 30 years.
Yeah.
Later.
Good can for I, her. Can I also just correct?
Yeah,
a terrible, terrible Remember Bagpuss style piece of shit that you've just come out with.
Oh,
soaps did not have Christmas episodes.
No, it's just if they happen to have an episode on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they only were only on Christmas Day right. if their normal schedule coincided with Christmas
true.
Day. Well, you can't say then that did any program have Christmas episodes before.
Well, hang on, because the Christmas soap episodes came in about the late 1980s, though. So with Hilda Ogden leaving, that was a special episode.
Well, that was a special episode.
1987.
Uh-huh.
Your Honour.
But the thing is, it wouldn't have been on Christmas Day if it hadn't been that day.
Well, I think that one was. I think that was a proper
Christmas
special.
There was but it was actually.
Are you all right?
I think it was EastEnders that actually changed that, where they started making a Christmas episode of EastEnders. I might be wrong, but I think it was EastEnders. And they started doing all that stuff about
I can't think of many dramas that had more than one Christmas special.
Dramas that had more than one Christmas special.
Well, what's interesting about this is it might be a Christmas special, but it's clearly not set at Christmas.
No, there's no Christmas. The only Christmas element to it is the extra length and the fact that they go out of the country.
Yeah.
I think you'll find it's also a Christmas film. Because the length, it was made by Houston, and the length of it would suggest it's a film.
Mm-hmm. Yes, rather than a special.
Than just a TV special.
There's some top class, world class sneering going on here.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
But wasn't there an upstairs? So was there an upstairs downstairs Christmas special?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, I've told you about my anger at the Call of the Midwife Christmas special this year.
Yes.
Well, you see, this is one of the one of the things where they get it, you know, because it sort of goes abroad, but it doesn't really. It's just on a train. No, there's nothing worse than that. There was another. Can you think of the other big tele program? That did its Christmas special abroad.
Give us a wee bit more of a clue. Just
what genre?
Sitcom.
Was it with
Duty Free?
No, Duty Free was always abroad.
But it's still accurate, though, isn't it?
No.
Just Good Friends.
Only Fools and Horses one, but I think this other one got in first. In fact, the Only Fools and Horses one, Miami Twice, is shit.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's really bad.
Mm.
But this one gone right off the boil by then.
But this one actually is quite good. In fact, it's very good.
Tell us what country it's in.
No, because that gives it away.
Oh, right. Is it in
title? Are you being served?
No, that's the film, which is magnificent.
Okay.
It's 1 foot in the Algarve.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where?
That wouldn't be before Only Fools and Horses, would it?
I think it was before Miami Twice.
Was it?
Mm. Wow. I think it was 1990. Wow. I might be wrong.
It's
I should check.
To 1 foot in the Algarve, isn't
well, it? What was good about it is there was an actual point to it. But the downside of it is it's not a Christmas special.
No.
But it does work on its own merits.
So here we get the theme tune coming back in there. Oh, hello. Mm. A bit of interference going on here. What's happening?
I'm going to check.
All right. Can you check? Over
slightly
the next,
away.
A That's better.
Because Miami Twice.
No, I like the look of Terry there. Don't you think? It's very trim.
Got a nice pair of slacks on with a nice tight, jacket. Flat front, but he pulls it off.
Yeah, it does.
Basically, looks like my dad.
Does he? My dad looked more like that guy. What's he up to now?
Actually, my dad's a dead spit of Bruce Forsyth.
Is he now?
Let's pause for a second to consider the genuine greatness of Sir George Cole.
Yes, yeah.
One of the great
I beg your pardon, this just in. You're right, Miami Twice was first. One Foot in the Algarve was 1993.
There we are.
Which only proves that how much better One Foot in the Grave has always been than Only Fools and Horses.
Because
it's just a proper programme.
So talk to us about George Cole.
One of the great men, really, wasn't he?
He is one of the great men.
Adopted by Alistair Sim, another one of the great men of the 20th century.
Yeah.
A fine actor.
Yeah.
An enormous range.
Yeah.
Mm. Probably one of our greatest comic actors. Lived to a ripe old age.
He did, didn't he? It wasn't that long ago.
Was it last year?
Just the last couple of years. He was in the 80s. Yeah, 70s, if not even more.
Yeah, I think he was older than that.
He was also, of course, in the brilliant, forgotten Comrade Dad.
Well, there was a couple of...
Called? Hello. What he used to say? He did have a bit of a catchphrase in that.
In Comrade Dad?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other thing he was in, which was called... He played an annoying dad.
That was Dad.
That was Dad.
With Kevin McNally. Well, I was about to say, he's done a few sitcoms that have kind of been forgotten.
Yeah.
Dad was one of them, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And had a brilliant Christmas special.
Yeah.
Ah, there we are.
And Comrade Dad, it's fantastic, which had a sort of Soviet male voice choir singing It's a Long Way to Tipperary.
That's fabulous.
Troughton?
Yeah,
that's a trend of the Michael variety.
Yep. What's great about Comrade Dad is that he's a total collaborator. He wants to join the party and all that. Fucking brilliant.
It's a great idea.
Who played his mum in it?
What?
His mum.
His mum. The gran of the family.
Can't remember.
Doris Hare.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Look at those nice flicky boards.
Those were the days.
That's a proper departure board. Yeah.
I remember when Central had them.
Yeah.
Right up until about 88, 89.
So his sporting cast.
Oh, he's just getting ready. He's dreadful, Adam Faith, isn't he?
Yeah.
Man, Adam
what was that fucking terrible thing he did with it? There's Ronald Lacey.
It certainly is.
It's Lloyd Cole.
So.
Ronald Lacey.
So this really.
What should we talk about?
This really is your appetizer,
is that,
though.
There's Morris Denham.
Morris Denham,
showing you the cast.
Yeah, basically, all the people that are going to be on the Orient Express.
Proper directing.
Yeah.
That's them all there now. And I tell you what, every one of them.
Look at the people are watching.
Yeah. Every one of them has cracked the character.
Mm hmm.
Okay, do you know why they're? Because they're proper actors.
Straight to front of the queue.
Jesus, so is he 80s Luke Adam.
Is he trying to get on? Arthur's trying to get on the train without being spotted.
Arthur's trying to get on with not being spotted, but also because Terry thinks he's waiting for his bird to go onto it. Yes. What he doesn't know is that Arthur's talked the bird into not going on it.
Yeah.
And that Terry doesn't realise he's going to be going on it with Arthur.
Because
Arthur needs to get away from the gangster. Yeah. Arthur's
Arthur
a total prick.
An
Does that
prick.
Mean he's going to have to pump Arthur all the way to Venice?
But Arthur absolutely is a complete dick.
Yeah, he's horrible. There he is. I like the way he's donning a white hat now.
Yep.
That wasn't Ben Harris from the back there, was it?
I don't think so.
That would have been all too.
Rogue One's own Ben Harris.
Yeah. Well, dad of Rogue One's own Jonathan Harris.
absolutely. No, Jonathan.
I hadn't been aware that he was Ben Harris' son.
Yeah, Ben Harris' son. Yeah.
Mm.
Another face of our childhood, Ben Harris.
Yeah.
Turn up and stuff all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, George Cole, he was just one of the greats. That guy's looking at the camera there. I would say
was he a real person?
I think he might have been,
yeah. I love a real person.
You know those things at Comrade Dad and Dad?
Mm-hmm.
They must have paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even then, mm-hmm. I mean, he must have been on a good whack from Houston Films for Minder.
Yeah.
Does anybody care about the Orient Express anymore?
Is it still a thing? Does it still exist?
I think middle class people from the southeast love it.
Does it still go anywhere though?
Yeah, it goes to Venice. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You get one train. I remember from unless it's changed. Since
they don't do boat trains anymore, though, do they?
You get one train to Dover, go across on a ferry,
right? Okay.
And then
join it
in Cali or whatever.
Doesn't have a steam engine though, which is kind of not doesn't really kind of devalues it. I think a bit.
It's beautiful.
Try to serve them the. Look at me, Arthur.
It's so funny, isn't it?
It's the way he's hiding from.
Yeah. Is that technically a thing in Britain, a subpoena?
Yeah, yeah, in England it is. In England, yeah.
There you go, look, he's lost him.
No, but you're right,
look,
though.
Look,
the, just a couple of years after he fought the thingy and he was crying over the thingy in Return of the Jedi. That's him, isn't it?
What?
Is that not the actor who's in Return of the Jedi?
Well, I don't know.
With the monster that gets squished.
No, 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 that's him that was in Kit Curran.
Yeah, I thought that was
No, he's the big guy with the wonky eye.
Yeah,
that was Mr. Icott.
Yeah.
You're right, though, the Orient Express is one of those things where... Now, here's the thing. Before the government nationalised dreams with the national lottery instead of the pools.
Yes.
When everybody used to say, if you won £1 million in the pools, or just if you won the pools, what would you do? And a standard answer was always, oh, I'd get the QE2 to New York, fly back on Concorde.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other one would be, oh, I'd go on the Orient Express. Yeah, yeah. But actually, none of that exists anymore.
No, that's
and as much as I don't think anybody has that...
aspiration.
Well, but not a shared aspiration.
No.
Because we're not a proper country anymore.
No, we're not absolutely. A proper country.
That's quite hard to hear, Ronald. This is sporting there, isn't it?
Sitting across from you, Friday.
He's a creep.
On a black man, isn't it?
Yep.
He's a creepy
man. Oh, he's brilliant, Ronald Lacey.
He's a creepy man.
Died very young.
Yeah.
Well, now then, Chris. I think it's time. Yes.
As they peruse the menu.
On a black man is the first sort of...
Open. She hasn't come there.
Be quiet, Phil.
Come on.
On a black man is one of those women, like, maybe until like 10 years ago, what's her name was? John Thaw's widow.
Sheila Hancock.
A person... whose age they're still quite sexy at, and you think, well, that's actually broken the upper age that I think I can offer someone at.
Yeah.
For most women now, it's still Harrison Ford, who's like about 102 now, but still really hot. You know?
And his only interest is smoking dope.
Smoking dope and falling over.
Now, let's think, leaving that defamation aside, let's talk about, let's open another window. That doesn't sound like a window opening.
No, it's like crunching a sweetie wrapper. Why don't you just do the noise of the opening, the window opening?
Hang on.
Oh, here we go, look.
Let's open another window.
Oh, that was good.
On the Green Guide Films Advent Calendar.
I like that, that was very good. Rover assortment biscuits, Neapolitans, and other disappointing tubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, right, no,
it's
get
right,
this.
He's on it. Don't worry about it.
Fuck are we talking about?
These are things
Rover
that you get given.
Biscuits.
So like tins of biscuits.
So you get a big
tin of biscuits. So you get like wrapped up.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you that's going to be like a big tin of Quality Street.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's biscuits, it's going to be like the Victoria biscuits or fucking more chocolate than biscuit. And actually open it up and it's a tin of Rover biscuits. Which is just like digestives.
Do you not remember Rover biscuits?
No, I remember Rover biscuits. They were really shit versions of biscuits.
They really passed me by on this one.
Oh, no. Dreadful, dreadful. Mm. Also...
We never had biscuits.
Shut up. Yeah, you spent all your money on your video.
Neapolitan.
And then you would have your...
I like it. Is that the pink wafer thing?
No.
I like a pink wafer.
No, that's not a Neapolitan.
What's a Neapolitan then?
Neapolitans are those... little squares of individually wrapped squares of chocolates that are different flavours, but they're just different flavoured chocolates. Yeah. They're not like get centres or anything. Terry's did Neapolitans, and you would have like just plain ones like milk or plain chocolate, but then there would be like coffee.
Yeah,
but they all look the same.
They all look exactly the same, but the wrappers were slightly different colours. Basically,
they were meant to be classy, weren't they?
They were meant to be classy, but they basically all come under the bracket, the umbrella of. Just you really shouldn't have bothered.
Yeah. And who would be the type of person who would buy that?
A Neapolitan. There's a double-edged thing with buying a box of Neapolitans because would buy them and who you would buy them for. So your gran would buy Neapolitans because they're sort of get into that area where older people would buy chocolates or sweets that would be. Not only grudging but chocolates or sweets, but also that you couldn't enjoy them too much.
Yeah.
So like, there's a box of Neapolitans, but you should buy them for your dad.
Do you just think old people?
They're not for kids.
Do you think old people just don't understand nice food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the biscuits was definitely for an older person.
Yeah. No, absolutely, because they're not.
What did you get in there?
I just need. Just a nice plain biscuit. I just want a nice plain biscuit.
I quite like a rich tea.
Yeah, but you don't want Christmas tea. No, rich tea is the devil biscuit.
No, I like
you don't
tea.
Want to be given. I like you don't give them. You don't give somebody a packet of rich tea biscuits for the fucking Christmas
in a tin.
No.
So then, but I tell you, what's a long forgotten thing.
Yeah. That's to do with rationing. Do you think?
I think so.
I think it's to do with
look at that.
Your weirdo Presbyterian heritage.
That's a fantastic diesel engine.
British Rail logo.
Yeah.
Chris, you're saying.
I think it's part of that whole. I have to give a present because it says it's Christmas and you have to give presents because I don't want to look like a total cunt and my neighbours talk about me, but I'm not going to give you a nice present.
Now, there are some...
There's certainly no excuse for it now, though, is there? I mean, funnily enough, last night I went to get petrol. I was in the M&S garage on Pollock Shaws Road in the centre of Glasgow, and I just walked past a section of chocolatey goods. And I actually thought there was no excuse for not bringing someone a nice box of Belgian chocolate.
Absolutely.
Because it's freely available.
There's loads of them. They're not comparatively, they're not very expensive. But some cunt will still give you. Or even worse.
So do you think they've gone out of their way then?
Even worse, a box of biscuits for cheese.
Aye,
which is fine to buy if you get people coming.
Yeah, but
not
a
fucking present. Because see, once you've opened the biscuits for cheese and eaten the wee ones that look like Hovis loaves, the rest of them are just.
Well, see, I like those puffy ones. The ones that are sort of.
Well, like water biscuits.
Cornish
wafers.
Yeah, they're nice. The ones that are quite puffy and stuff.
They're not a present.
No, that's ridiculous. No.
Can I? I've got some other food-based.
I do like a digestive with cheese, though.
The Christmas.
Go for a Christmas present.
Yeah. Should we just cover these off just quite quickly? Yeah. We'll just go through them. Things that old people like, for example, York fruits.
Yeah, they're not great.
How do you feel about York fruits?
No.
York fruits.
Why is the point of York fruits?
Any type of glassy fruits, I'm not really fond of.
Well, I've liked it, but glassy fruits are fine.
Are they made in York?
York fruit is not a glassy fruit.
What is it?
York fruit is like Newbury fruits. York fruits are jelly fruit sweets, but they're not even jelly. They're like squishy. As I liked, I think I pointed out in Cream Up once, are the equivalent of a Bush Tucker trial, where they're like squidgy, slimy, and then in the middle they have a gooey bit.
Look at that boy in front of them.
Now, I think they think just you whack it in a tin and the granny will love it.
And I think you'll find that for the last 35 years, they've been a pound.
No.
35 years ago, when this went out, when this minor and the Express went out, Christmas Day 1985, a box of York fruits was a pound. I could go up to the Tesco 24 at Shelton right now and buy a box of York fruits for a pound.
We'll see you back here in half an hour.
So
mental.
Can I just add one thing
to that? Of course
you can. See my granny, the late Jessie Watson, who's a fine woman. She liked chocolate gingers.
What's a chocolate ginger?
It's a sort of ginger.
It's stem ginger covered in dark chocolate.
Oh no.
It's awful.
Oh, no,
but there are certain.
I don't want that.
Yeah, but there was a sort of brand that was a chocolate ginger. It's quite nice.
Did she get that? Did she think it was healthy?
No. What you get is the people who. You get the things where older folk. First of all, it's good for your stomach. Ginger serves your stomach.
It's very good for your stomach.
Right? Well, hence also they like peppermint creams. But I think you see that there's a. There is a callback to the war and to rationing where they like strong, plain flavours and not too fussy because it seems too twiddly and too flamboyant and puffy.
Yeah. Are you going to start your Catholic rant again against the one true church?
I've already did that, but you weren't paying
attention. I was just deliberately ignoring it.
So, Chris, best and worst quality streets. Quickly, instant reaction.
Best quality street for my money is the toffee, the caramel penny.
Oh yeah, worst.
Worst is anyone that's a sort of coffee? Generic fudgy kind of thing.
I like just you're not asking. I like the purple one.
You like that the best?
Yeah, you know they get the caramel with the one. They always get this called like a country fudge. One. Why is that? Why is it? Why should fudge be from the country?
I don't like fudge anyway. As we know.
No, I'm not a fan of fudge. Yeah. What about liqueur chocolates? Is that a nice thing at Christmas? Is that a nice thing?
Yeah. Can I just point out there's a shop in St. Ives called the Fudge Box?
Really?
Which just sounds wrong, doesn't it? It's good though.
Liqueur chocolates?
Yeah, I like liqueur chocolates.
Do you have those on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I tend to do the Christmas shop.
They always taste the same though, don't they? Each one.
I do the Christmas shop and I will pick up a box of liqueur chocolates.
I'm not mad on the liqueur chocolates. Do they still come with wrappers and they look like little bottles?
Yeah.
I when I was a kid, you only really got them in Boots.
Have you?
People used to buy them in Boots.
You see my catalogue.
Yeah.
Can I ask, have you ever broken off the top and tried to pour out all the liqueur stuff into a glass?
Every time.
How much do you get?
No, not in a glass. Just pour it
just
down
my
throat.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. But it'd be, I wonder how much you actually get.
Is that that thing where, remember people used to say, like, oh, you can't drink liqueur chocolates and then drive, you'll get done breathalyzed?
Yeah.
Is that true?
No.
I almost got thrown off a bus for drinking Top Deck. This really? True story.
And the ironic thing is, you were on the bottom deck.
True story. One last one on Christmas food stuff. Nuts. Why fucking
bother? I don't get the nuts. I think the police copter is above.
Is that the copyright infringement?
It's the copyright police. Strathclyde Police.
Euston Films. So, nuts.
Oh, can we just big shout out to Monsieur, as he is in this, Ralph Bates.
Sure,
wonderful actor.
He's got a terribly dodgy accent.
That doesn't really matter, does it? Because he's Ralph Bates.
He is wonderful.
One of the great men.
Look at that. That is two.
Far too young.
Two great television actors.
Yeah.
Another great Christmas episode, Dear John.
Ralph Bates.
Dear John was a great programme.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think that was John Sullivan's best programme.
I think I agree with you.
Nuts, why fucking bother?
Yeah, I don't get the nuts thing.
Why fucking bother?
Nuts.
I think I've tried that. I think I've actually bought them. Because they're always in the supermarket as you go in.
Yeah, but why?
I think I've opened them and stuck them in a wee fucking bowl and put them on the hearth.
And you just sit there
and just look at them.
You look at them and they go fisty.
Aye.
But you
why is that a thing at Christmas?
If you're
going to
do that, we'll just have crisps.
Is it because it's meant to be
a cheesy curl?
Is it meant to be a sort of traditional winter thing? Because they store up the nuts.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I've got a real fire in my house, so I could roast them, but they would just taste the fire lighters.
Yeah. But roast chestnuts are ginking. But I think that must be what it is. You have nuts and they're stored and you have them at Christmas. Because then there's all those things that you get, you know, the sort of things that are on Christmas programmes or films that are never actually happen in real life, like people having port and walnuts, which never happens either.
It's boring. Like,
a tin of Schlitz and a bar of Dairy Milk.
I quite like port though.
Oh, I like port. Yeah. Give it to the book. Mm.
There's actually a very good port. Quite happy to be sponsored for this. It's quite a nice port doing the rounds at M&S at the moment.
Is there?
Pick up about £8 a bottle.
Nice.
It's a weird bottle, but it's nice.
I like a nice dessert winey port.
I don't like sweet wine.
Like a good late harvest wine. But just as a small glass, because it does the same sort of job.
Is that sweet?
But you know, you've got to eat it with like, it's nice with like patty or something, or with cheese, because it does the same sort of job as a chutney.
Oh. Was that Arthur? Was his head ever turned by a lady?
Was his head ever turned by a
monster? Or was it always have one eye on the,
yeah, there
the
must
main
have been, there must have been an episode where his head was turned by a lady.
Because his head's not turned by on a black man, I don't think.
I think he was too frightened of her indoors. I'm going to have to look up and see how old George Cole was when he died.
I think he was about 90. But the whole thing about, you know, the nutcracker at Christmas and all that sort of thing.
When did he die?
A couple of years
August 2015.
There you are.
He was only OBE.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? But there might be. I think there might be a reason for that. I think that if it's not declared, I think there might be a genuinely creditable reason for that. Because Alistair Sim was only OBE because he always refused a knighthood, but eventually took an OBE to get them off his back. And I wonder if George Cole did exactly the same thing.
That'd be nice, okay. Let's just presume it is.
Because Alistair Sim just refused to believe that they should have a knighthood. They thought it was ridiculous.
Well, it's that great thing that Jim Broadbent says. Well, he's never taken one because he says actors shouldn't be sirs.
Yeah.
Things like that. They should be vagabonds and scoundrels and wastrels. It shouldn't be
Certainly shouldn't be fucking rock and pop stars.
Well, we think about this, don't we? We agree on this, that basically you're... we've talked about this, Chris and I, that my respect for someone dips slightly when they take an honour.
Uh-huh.
And then when I learn someone keeps refusing them, it goes, it rockets.
Yeah, John Le Carré,
He doesn't even let his books go in for awards. Yeah, he says, I have no interest in being, you know, decided this is better than that one. He says, it's not what I write. And the one who...
I write for the money!
And he makes an awful lot of that. The one who refused most honours is apparently L.S. Lowry.
Right.
He refused like CBE, OBE, two knighthoods, and a companion of honour. He said nut to all of them.
L.S. Lowry and LL Cool J.
Is that because any track can draw stick men?
Yeah.
Is that his grounds?
It wasn't LL Cool J that sang In the Closet, what it was called, was it?
No, it was R. Kelly.
That's an amazing.
Mm. It was in the closet.
A midget. A midget. imagine.
So I wonder why this didn't do as well as had been expected, because it's a stellar cast.
Did it not do as well as was expected?
No, because it was really quite soundly trounced by Nipples and Horses. And that was the big head-to-head for Christmas Day 1985. It was Arthur Daly versus Del Boy Trotter.
I think we know now that this is the one we're watching. We're not watching Only Fools and Horses.
True. We can't remember which Only Fools and Horses episode it was.
I'm just checking.
See, I think Only Fools and Horses for me...
To Hollenbach.
There we are.
I know, I have to admit, to Hollenbach is a really great episode.
Which is the best Only Fools and Horses episode?
I like the one when they go on the Jolly Boys outing to Margate, because it's called the Jolly Boys outing. Uh-huh. It's got the Chaz and Dave and a Margate and all that. And that would be about 89, 90.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting.
And I liked that one.
Interesting.
I think their best episode by a mile is...
So Craig's wrong. Is a bit late. Like, so if you're going to be wrong as
No, my own opinion by a mile.
I'm factually wrong. I don't accept that.
Is just a regular episode, series episode, quite late period.
Are you going to get it right? Oh, no.
Could you just let him talk, you twat? I never actually thought I'd be saying that, but could you just let him talk?
Which is the one where they buy... They try to shove off the inflatable dolls, the sex dolls.
That's quite funny.
Because I think... Because it's... First of all, it's completely self-contained. It's very funny. It is a fantastic payoff.
Yeah.
It doesn't... It actually does what he's meant to do, which is buy and sell.
Yeah.
Doesn't get into all the soap shit that it got into with Cassandra and Raquel and all that.
Yeah.
And although they are sort of featuring it, it's not a prominent feature. It's just Del and Rodney trying to buy and sell something and getting into a scrape. From that period, at that time, that didn't happen very much.
Mm. Which one was the one that was married to Rodney?
Cassandra.
She was
terrible.
She was so bad. She's so bad.
She couldn't even hold an eye line.
No, she's dreadful.
She would sort of look off and just parrot out her lines.
She has not had a glittering career since.
No, absolutely. What's her name again?
Gwyneth Strong.
That's
Gwyneth
Strong.
Oh, just terrible. Raquel was all right, actually.
Yeah, Raquel
she was a good actor.
Tessa Jones. Yeah, she's a good name as well.
So what apparently is the best episode?
Now, if I wasn't so obnoxious, you'd have to agree with me on this. So the second best episode is the one where...
Is it when he falls through the thing?
No, it's not when he falls through the thing. It's the
that's your favourite TV moment ever,
isn't it? No, it's not my favourite TV moment ever.
That's my favourite.
Remember Bagpuss?
Remember Bagpuss? The second best episode...
Spangles.
...is the one in the supermarket with the hold-up. And they are held in the supermarket.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good one. Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not that fussed about Only Fools and Horses. When it was good, it was good.
Yeah, the best episode... Which is to say, you will agree, if I wasn't so obnoxious, is the episode called Friday the 14th. Now, do we remember Friday the 14th?
No.
So the episode is Grandad and Del and Rodney go down to a house in the country.
Oh, yeah.
And on the way,
they're stopped by
a policeman who tells them that there's a madman on the loose.
That's right,
And then
is it the policeman?
The policeman is the madman.
Yeah, that is very good.
And at the end...
But actually, it's not better than the one with the exploding sex dolls.
What happens is that he's in the house and Del manages to conspire to get Rodney and Grandad let out. Mm-hmm. So he tells them to go off and get the police. And in the meantime, the mad policeman says, let's have a game of snooker. And Dale says, well, where are we going to play it? And he points at where there's nothing in the room. He says, there on that table. So obviously he's so mental. So Dale's about to play snooker with him, and then you hear the noise of the helicopter, and this makes this mad policeman quite jumpy. And Dale says the line, which probably doesn't work anymore, but at the time it was fantastic, where he says, don't worry, it's not the police, it's Barrett's. Remember the Barrett's?
Yeah,
Patrick Hart.
And so at the end of it, they're about to play snooker, and the policeman says, I'm shit at snooker. So Dale says, well, shall we make this interesting then? Let's play for a fiver. That's the end of the episode. And it is the best episode of my
It's not, though. It's not, because the best episode is the one with exploding sex dolls.
No.
Because it finishes with the van driving away. And the two of them pop up in the back. The black and the white one with his mum's outfits on.
I think history will judge
who
me.
Who else did a sketch?
They've already judged me, correct?
Who else did a sketch about an invisible snooker table?
Wonder Woman.
Cannon and Ball.
Oh, that's
did
right.
they?
Yeah.
I bet there was lots of good business in that.
Do you think Wonder Woman had an invisible snooker table? Invisible plane.
Invisible
snooker table. When she gets home at night, takes off her lariat. Does have a wee game of invisible snooker.
An invisible plane, yeah.
Mm.
I'm just thinking about her knockers.
She's got her knockers as clear rockers.
Yeah.
So back
I'll tell you one thing I did like about Only Fools and Horses is that when Grandad died, it was on Earth, aren't they?
Yeah.
But actually, Buster Merrifield.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't. No, bad, I don't think he was. I don't think he was better. I think it was easily as good.
Yeah, I love him.
They were just because they were totally different characters.
He was like a retired bank manager or something, wasn't he?
Buster Merrifield, yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing that was good about it was Leonard Pierce, wasn't it?
Leonard Pierce.
He just looked like such a manky old guy.
Yeah, no, but actually,
I think he was the last manky old guy.
Yeah, he did. He did have a long career, but if you see him appearing in other films. He appeared in a lot of films. He appeared in a lot of television and drama. He's a very respected actor. Very sort of like a bit like Wilfred Bramble. Yeah. Very dapper. Yeah. Very well spoken. Very well educated. Which made which Wilfred Bramble wasn't a
good one. Which made that from the record.
Which made his sort of turn his granddad even better.
Yeah.
Right, so they were two. They were two very different.
Equally, what's his name that played Father Jack?
Yeah, Frank Kelly, who was very refined and
sort of, you know,
actor. Yeah, absolutely. He just died this year.
Many years at the Abbey Theatre. Yep. He didn't even speak with an Irish accent.
But Only Fools and Horses also went through that period where suddenly London became clean on television.
Ah, yeah, no, absolutely. Well, so did Minder, actually. So did Minder. Because Minder at the outset was
quite manky,
was quite manky and
then,
quite gritty and dangerous.
Yeah.
But then after this. Yeah. It had a break because, as you said, this was supposed to be the last one. Uh-huh. And then when it came back, It was still funny, but it was a comedy show and it had all sorts of funny, colourful characters.
It was.
Naturally, originally, there's an episode with a young guy from Wales who's come to London to try and make a living as a darts player, and he gets somebody glasses his hand and all this. I mean, it's really grim.
Yeah. It's another one that's got a great title sequence that sets up the characters and they're riding up the car and they're riding up each other, you know. And it's a lovely vinyl-topped R registration so for Capri.
And then, of course, the closing credits are the black and white pictures of them just cutting about London.
Yes, that's right. And with the lamppost falling over.
Yeah.
Why does that lamppost fall over?
It's not falling over. It's just bent over it. They just make it look like it's falling over for a while.
Oh, I say they don't fall over. I always thought it was. Why is Arthur English not in this?
He's mourning.
He should be the head waiter.
Yeah, he should.
There was that actor there, the black hair, the very suave one that was in First Among Equals. I can't remember his name. James something.
James Suave.
Do you like the length of Terry's tie?
Yeah.
That's a good length, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the sort of tie my dad would wear.
Look, and he gets a nice pint of lager and a straight glass.
Yeah, straight glass.
Stand on me.
Vodka and tonic.
Vodka and tonic, yeah. VET.
How much?
Here's the damn.
See how much you weigh. How much you weigh? Bet.
Do me a favour, mate.
Oh, no, it's not the belt.
50 francs.
Yeah.
What were we saying there? Oh, I Only Fools and Horses. Yeah. The thing I don't like about what happened to Only Fools and Horses is that it became mythologized. When it went, it just the same as this.
Mm.
It went away from being a half-hour program. Yeah. Which was pretty gritty and had a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a lot of pretty racist humour and things.
It was had good plots as well.
Yeah. But then it went away. Then it came back as an hour, and then it came back just as Britain's favourite sitcom.
Yeah.
The thing is that in the interim period, Britain's actual favourite sitcom,
which was
One Foot in the Grave. Oh. Had been on, and which still remains Britain's favourite sitcom in terms of viewers and impact and all that sort of thing, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it does. I think if you look at the figures and all that sort of thing over a length of period and whatever. But at the point, whether that's true or not, when it comes back.
Apart from
Don't Drink the Water. And when it came back.
That one with Kate Winslet in it.
It was this massive. You know, it's an hour long, it was a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then it did that thing that really fucked me off was, you know, like when you used to watch Only Fools and Horses and you think, like, Boyce and Marlene would be an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, excellent, this episode's got Boyce and Marlene in it.
Yeah.
Or there would be, like,
Denzel.
Denzel would be in an episode and you're thinking, yeah. And then, or Trigger would be in, you've got, oh, brilliant, this week Trigger's in it. And then it came back and all of them in every episode.
Yeah,
it's like a troupe, isn't it?
And you're like, oh, fuck off.
Kind of like a low style.
Yeah, there's like they're all in the pub. And you're like, really?
Every week.
Oh, that's a different Suave man. The trouble is we can't see their faces.
He's Nigel. He's Nigel Le Suave.
He's quite heavily made up. Mm. Is that Vladimir Putin that's
working in the winter? That's the nightclub.
Putin on the
ridge, isn't he?
He shoots them all out. Fuck Morris, you,
there's Morris Denham.
Yeah.
Also in Porridge.
Who is in, of course, one of the great films of all time.
The Doctor the Twin Dilemma.
Yeah, no, he's in Night of the Demon.
Is he now?
Yeah.
Does he play the demon?
He plays. He plays the original Harrington who gets killed at the beginning.
Wow.
And actually, if Peter Vaughan was only in three episodes of Porridge, that means he was only. That means Morris Denham was only in one less episode than him, one fewer episode. Than him. Wow. He was in two.
What's he now?
Right.
As the judge. Remember, he was
that's
the judge.
Right. He was the judge.
Judge Rowland.
Yeah. Look at that's a very 80s shave there, isn't it?
I've never got one with electric razors.
No, me neither.
I manfully tried with electric shavers for years. Yeah. And I just get fed up with them. You know what the thing is? You know what my downfall is? You need actually quite a firm jaw.
Right,
a firm face and a big fat flabby face like mine.
Poke.
It basically just shoves around all over the place. You need to be kind of lantern
jawed. No end
John.
Of firmness to.
You need to be like one of those fucking SS Aryan types in a Gillette advert to be what you use one.
Well, now I'm going to suggest.
But can I just? I was going to say, my brother had a youth razor, a youth shaver, which he got in 1981.
Shaver.
A Ronsal Ruth shaver, which was over. Yeah, it was a sort
Hang on, are you saying Ruth or youth?
Youth,
you a Ruth shaver.
Yeah, youth.
I don't know
what you said. How the fuck? How likely is Ruth shaver?
Well, I thought it was Jonathan Ruth, as in I thought he was about.
What, as in Candid Camera?
Yeah, he also invented the shaving razor.
You're such a fucking dick.
Yeah, he was in the Hitler Youth.
Okay, well let me just
loads of tiny wee sex doctors.
Let me just send this back.
Take over the world.
Let me send this back and say a youth shaver.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What the fuck is a youth shaver?
Possibly an electric shaver for young men.
Yeah.
Don't try and make it sound
why
like.
Why do you need to make a distinction?
Wait a minute. Don't try and make him sound like the one.
It's not like fucking whiskers for mature cats and for little cats.
So he's trying to make it out that you said the mental thing.
Yeah.
When what you said was youth shaver.
A youth shaver.
Yeah. Tommy had a youth shaver.
How does that work?
Why don't I tell you?
Yeah.
It was an electric razor, which is probably with a softer, less abrasive sort of bristle for sort of little bum fluffy. My brother still can't.
And hang on, and Jonathan Ruth invented that.
Yes, you're a cock.
Yeah. I'm going to hold this hand here in front of your face, and something's going to come at it.
Yes, I bet it is.
Punch you to death.
And you're going to drive.
Oh, look!
You're going to drive home.
Look
by
at the shirt.
You're going to drive home, there'll be no engine in your car, right?
That's right.
Look at that, a frilly front.
Oh,
the
it's
shirt.
A Glasgow wedding shirt.
Absolutely. I believe my father-in-law sported one of them at many a do at the.
I'd love to be able to get them.
Fantastic.
You know what I wish you could get as well? You know those shirts you used to get with like the paisley pattern that was like the shirt and the collar and the tie all the one pattern? Yeah. Why don't they do them anymore?
Because they were fucking horrible.
But they'd be bad. You could get them now, I bet you.
In a sort of black box with a cellophane front.
Yeah, with
probably
like
got
a band
market.
Across it. Yeah.
Anyway.
So the same kind of box you would get a pen set in.
Shall we open another door then on the...
Let's open another door.
Let's do the sound
on
effect.
The Cream Guide Films.
What's the door system? Okay.
Advent calendar.
It's a very comfortable seat.
Hang on, here we go.
Come on then, let's do it. That's... I like that. Okay, so it's Christmas. Saw the ad, wanted the toy, got the toy, and it was shit.
Oh. Game of life.
Game of life, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty poor.
Yeah, nothing happens in it.
Why is that?
Actually, that's quite...
Also...
That's actually quite...
It does look good, though. Did you like the spinny thing, though? It went up to 10, didn't it?
Also, the trouble was... My brother's 7 years older than me, so I didn't really have anyone to play with it. You know? So
you don't really need anyone to play with it, though, in a way, though, is it? Because it's just
quite a solitary one, really.
In fact, there's the only... I seem to remember at the time... The big decision that was, am I going to go down that route?
Yeah,
felt like that was kind of mind expanding, that a board game gave you an option of which route to take.
Yeah.
It was a great board. It was always complicated.
The thing is, you were excited by.
Also, Mousetrap. Did you ever actually play Mousetrap properly?
Yeah.
I would just set it up and knock it off for a laugh.
Yeah, I played it once and I just thought, nah. And my mum and dad refused to buy. Like Mousetrap as a present because you just see you're just the bits have got lost.
And there's always someone in the family
who
would try. you require everyone
like
to play, and there's always some member of the family who fucking just
my dad. No, I don't my dad.
Oh no, that's not like my. Oh, that's definitely my dad.
Yeah,
well.
My dad's never played
play games.
My entire life with me. No,
it's like let's play Monopoly. No, I'm not bothering. Right. Yeah, but I think I mentioned last
cards,
year when we were talking about the Box of the Lights one. When we went on Boxing Day to my great grand's round the corner, we'd get. I remember one Christmas we got Trivial Pursuit.
Yes.
For a. Not Trivial Pursuits. Trivial Pursuit.
Yes, the singular.
And,
yes.
And we've put the board out and all that. Yeah. My gran happened to go me it for Christmas. Yeah. I said, right, we're going to play that. My dad said, no, I'm all right. My gran was just like, yeah, you're playing it.
Good, good for her.
So that was, we all had to sit around and play. It was fucking brilliant.
I once...
Glass Alpine Ginger.
Lovely. I remember once playing Trivial Pursuit at a friend, a guy who had been at school with at his house, at his parents' house, with his mum and my two friends. One of them subsequently died. The other one, I don't really see anymore. And the one who I don't really see anymore, he took a real huff because I won.
Oh, really?
Can you remember the question that you won?
And you could tell that his mum was a bit huffy that I'd won as well.
What was the best question that you got?
I can't remember.
Did you ever get any questions that you knew were wrong? Like the questions on the box, and the box you knew were wrong?
Oh, I think there was perhaps a Doctor Who question that was wrong.
There was one about Spike Milligan I knew was wrong.
Was there?
Because it said, like, where was he born? And I knew he'd been born in Hyderabad. And it said something like he'd be in Pune, like he was born in Hyderabad, Pune. And it said something like he was born in Lahore or something like that. And it's like, well, that's just not right.
Wow.
But it's on the card. I don't know what you do about that. This is an existential crisis.
So was there games played on Christmas Day in the Williams household then when you were growing up? None at all. But no, you could play without your dad though. No?
We didn't really play games.
My mum and I played a lot of drafts. And we played Scrabble. Although she taught me the rules wrong.
Did she?
I didn't realise until I got my own board and left home that once you've covered
there's a word
one of the triple word score or whatever, that's it covered. I thought you could...
So if you put an S on the end, you could get a triple word score as well?
Yeah, because she taught me that.
You must have been the highest scoring games of Scrabble. 3 million each.
That is definitely mum's role, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a mum's role.
I used to like playing games like that. My mum was good.
We never played. We didn't do that, you know. Like you see, this gets back to like seeing programs like this and sitcoms and all that. They play games at Christmas.
Yeah.
That was just the thing. Do people really do that instead of what we did, which was just get sent upstairs, go and play with something while we watched the wild geese?
So, was there a toy that you coveted?
I cook the dinner, as we said last year. As soon as I'm finished, I go and lie on the sofa and fall asleep.
Quite right.
You know.
Was there a toy you coveted that got and it was shit?
Operation.
Oh yeah,
which is fine, like the first time you play it, but then the thrill is gone.
Yeah, we used to have a.
It's like those things that you do at a fair or a jumble
sale
with the button. You've got to go. You just got to get fucked.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Kick it down.
I don't really care anymore.
Kick it over. We had a tennis game that looked like it was a computer game. So this must be very early 80s, and essentially you wound it up.
Right.
And what it was this light would come across, right? And what you'd have is you'd have three buttons, and you had to press the button that you think corresponded to where it was going to go.
Jesus Christ.
So it'd go across, and you'd go, and you'd go.
Was that a Benetton invention by any chance?
Well, I don't think it was, because it was purely mechanical. It had the look of being computerized, but it wasn't at all. It was purely mechanical.
I had the Kevin Keegan football game. Remember that one?
No, I don't.
That was a computer. I'm going to look up a picture of it for you.
Well, I tell you what, I did.
Was it a computer game?
Well, it was a handheld sort of just one thing.
What was the one? Was it that looked amazing when you set it all out? It looked amazing. Which was called? Was it like Tank Command?
Oh, I don't know.
And it was like you had. So it was like a big board, and you had sets of tanks against you.
Oh, that rings a bell.
Actually on like a perspex glass. Base, and you sat them on it, and then it moved. They moved towards each other. But see, once you got them laid out, they started to move. It was like there was nothing else happened.
And Battleships was massively disappointing. Our grandson, that's very similar to the tennis game.
Do you know what I used to do with it? Quite soon afterwards, I used to pretend that it was the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
All right, walk about.
Yeah,
don't panic.
I also had Astro Wars.
I had Astro Wars. Yeah. That was good. That was good.
The game and watch things. No, they were good.
I loved all that. Yeah. Astro Wars. I had. Did you have? I never had any game and watch ones.
Yeah, game and watch.
Right. Game and watch.
Yeah.
I never had any.
Donkey Kong.
Still got one of those.
I had.
Have you?
No, you.
No, a game and watch.
Game and watch.
There were those things that it was like. What was the one? The flip open Donkey Kong one.
Yeah, the orange one.
It was always the one that you're trying to borrow off your pal for the weekend.
That's right.
I borrowed that for the weekend.
Yeah.
Nah. My Uncle Tom and Auntie Mara bought me a sort of cheapo one of them. It was good. I liked it.
But the thing that was amazing about them wasn't because you could get better. Like Astro Wars and things like that. You could get better games.
Yeah.
The thing was. The Game & Watch ones didn't run out of battery.
They didn't run out of battery.
Well, I mean, not for ages. Yeah, I mean, you could play Astro Wars for 40 minutes and they ran out of batteries.
But do you notice when they bug it up?
I always plugged it in.
Or you have an adapter.
Oh, really? When they bug it up, you always used to see lots of them.
Hundreds of them all on the screen at once.
You kind of destroyed the magic.
You had to try and guess where you were.
It was like a lenticular ruler.
Yeah, or you switch on it and go. Yeah. Switch it off again. Yes. Someone a bad turn.
Yeah, so what's happening in the.
I've no idea.
Gendarmerie! That's what's happening.
There's just kind of japes going on at this point.
It's basically like Bullseye, but better.
I wonder if the reason only Fools and Horses won this particular ratings war is because an hour and 45 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, that's
true. I wonder if people just got about half an hour, 40 minutes in and just thought, that's enough of that.
Christmas night adverts, this would have been scheduled for about 2.25 hours then.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah. Yeah, I think it was about 2 hours.
It'll be more than that because they're going to fucking ring more than 14 minutes of adverts out on Christmas Day.
They'll
be fucking labelling all the Thomas Cook adverts and all that shite that used to depress you on Christmas Day.
Well, possibly, except, I mean, I would believe that, but what the other thing is...
I would believe that.
The thing is that bear in mind, it's not like schedules now, you know, that can run over and under and all that. They were so rigid in hitting the hour and a half hour.
Like Top of the Pops should be 40 minutes and things like that. Don't get that anymore.
But wasn't
on ITV they weren't.
But wasn't it true that ITV didn't bother with Christmas Day because they couldn't sell the advertising slots, generally speaking?
Most of their advert. Because remember, because one of the things that used to really fuck me off, because this happens now from like now.
Hmm.
One of the things that used to fuck me off is on Christmas Eve, they would start those. You know, the adverts for the Queensway sale and all that on Boxing Day, and you're like,
there's no better way than Queensway.
Like, MFI sale.
It's a fucking chance, man.
Oh, you know me, mate. I'm not into any of that.
What happened to MFI?
They closed.
They went bust.
Because it was shite.
Mm.
What did it stand for?
Manufactured for fucking
idiots. Yes.
I think it was the joke when I was a
manufactured kid. By fucking idiots.
My dad bought me an MFI desk when I went to high school.
Did he?
And it was a... secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually pretty fucking shite. It had doors at the front that closed. I didn't really like it very much. But he insisted I got it. And whenever I would try and move my room around, I fucked it up, it would fall apart and I had to fix it again, you know, get the dowling laws and all that. But that was I stayed at home for the first 2 years at university, then moved out. It was still there till the end of my second year at university. You fucking diddy desk.
We had a little
I got my son a desk in the summer there for starting secondary school. It's a fucking lovely desk.
Where'd you get it from? IKEA, yeah. How long did that take you to construct?
Not very long. He helped me as well.
See, because if you're not nearly
killed us getting up your stairs.
Ah, that's right. Well, he actually had to carry it up because I was fucked.
They're fucking heavy, aren't they?
Oh, fuck me, man.
Well, it's just with my knee being pretty fucking.
His knee was fucked. I couldn't even. Because it was like my dad likes to say, it's not heavy, it's awkward, but it was heavy as well.
Aye.
So I had to push it up the stairs.
Aye. I helped you to the halfway stage. There's two flights of stairs in my house.
And shouting up to your boy, who we won't name. Shouting up to your boy. No, you're going to actually have to help. Don't just stand and look.
That's very nice of you.
Now, we were talking about Arthur earlier on about not being interested in the women, by and large.
The ladies.
But he did like to sort of give a little twinkle to whoever Terry's girlfriend was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it would always be sort of flirting with the much younger women who we'd never actually see it through with. He was just always been a little bit charming.
Because he's doing that there with Amanda Pays right now.
But look at all the thoughts the playing across his face. He's a brilliant actor.
He's brilliant.
Actor.
Jack Sapp, as in Crawling King's Mrs. So here we are.
Look at his hair there as well.
Yeah.
Here's where the story's coming out.
Slightly dishevelled.
Yeah. People still use Pro Cream?
You can still buy it.
See, one of the great things about this is that she is exactly what Jack South's daughter would have turned out to, because the money would have been there to, you know, to educate her at a good public school and all that sort of thing. So she's going to be right posh.
Yeah.
She's a bonny woman, isn't she, Amanda Pace?
From L.A. Law.
From L.A. Law. Colin Benson's wife.
Mm-hmm. Bam! Remember, it started with the book closing.
Bam. Yeah, and you see them kicking about in their suits and that, and thinking, must be too hot.
Must be roasting. Except everywhere is
air conditioned. Don't fancy Ellie at all. It's a terrible place.
Yeah,
it is. Alan and Stuart, our pals on the Stuart, have been a few times, and they love it there.
Yeah. Do they?
Although their favourite place on the West Coast is Seattle.
Craig, do your impression of Sean Connery from The Untouchables? I haven't heard that in a while.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. What do you want in the bit in the church?
I want all of it.
You want it, Capone? Here's how you get him. He He puts one of yours in the morgue, you put one of his in the hospital. No, he puts one, you put,
fuck,
he puts one of yours in the hospital. That's how we do it now.
Yeah.
He puts one of yours in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue. That's, he pulls a knife, you pull a gun. That's the Chicago way.
And that's how you get Capone. And then earlier on, he has that great line where he's meant to be the Irish cop.
Yeah.
And one of the first things he says is, "Okay, pal, why the Mahashka?" Like, wait a minute.
Come on, and he also has the great bit.
Oh, is it? Come on,
when he says, "Ah, just like a wop, brings a knife to a gunfight. Get out of here, you dago bastards." And then he gets machine guns.
No, did the or is it bit?
No, I used to say that every day to our dear Francesco, who works in the hospital canteen. Oh, yeah. And he'd always say to me, "Oh, here we go, dago bastard." It's so fucking racist, man.
No, that's the thing where he says, "This is, Jimmy, I'm talking to your dead man here."
Oh, is it?
But there's another brilliant bit where he just sounds like your grandpa, if you happen to come from our part of the world, where he's running after the guy who's dealing with the consignment, and he shoots the gun in the air and just shoots, which I don't think is in the script. Oh, enough of this running shit. Fucking great.
Here's a nice little...
Just a year earlier, he snogged that boy. He snogged Hugo Drax.
Yeah. So we're at the bit in the film now where you get sort of a bit of charming characterisation. Do you sort of get at this kind of juncture in these films? Just a nice little bit of reflection. We've had that with Arthur and Terry, and now we're having it here with.
I tell you what's, what characters. I think is what's very telling is the difference between something like this then and now, which is that there. I don't think there is any way they would put the money and attention into this sort of thing with this length, where it wasn't, you know, a drama about a murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It couldn't possibly be something silly and fun.
Yeah.
You know, and a bit daft.
I mean, the cast mostly a bit older as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a Bergerac Christmas special? I'm trying to think. No, I think there was sort of kind of possibly a festive
Jersey. They don't have Christmas in the. They don't have Christmas in Jersey.
They have a cheap fag festival.
Yeah.
I always thought Jersey was a place that people who wanted a holiday abroad but didn't like foreigners.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We'll just go to Jersey.
Let's go to Jersey. It's actually, you know, it's a subconscious thing with me. So it's like, I think last year or early this year, my mum was saying, "Oh, should go a holiday?" And I said, "Oh, I'm busy, I don't have time, you know, and I don't want to go away for a week, you know, or a fortnight myself and all that sort of thing." And she went, "Oh, well, you could go to Jersey." And I just immediately went, "Shut up!" The fuck would I go to Jersey for?
A friend of mine was
get potatoes anywhere.
A friend of mine was maybe going to work on a hospital project on Jersey last year, she spent a few weeks in Jersey in the summer. So it was absolutely lovely. Really? She had a really nice time. Yeah.
A bang bang bang. It's good thing. Look at these lads.
Bergerac made Jersey seem really small, though.
Yeah, is it not quite small?
It is small. Yeah.
No. I mean, like small, like the size of a small wee town.
Well, only as much as Terence Alexander's. Charlie Hunkford was always somehow involved with whatever was going on.
Yeah. Fucking Louise Jameson's shiny face.
She's a wonderful woman.
Susan.
She is a wonderful woman. She's a great actress. But in Bergerac, she was always looked like, you know, like the holiday photographs you get of women in the 80s who have been out in the sun all day. And they get home on the right shiny. She always looked like that.
It was And is it you that's got you have a problem with Lisa Goddard?
I don't mind Lisa Goddard. I don't like her.
I don't have a problem with Lisa Goddard. And Lionel Blair.
We're asking you, give us.
I know. Here's a talking about Christmas games. Here's a class divider. Here's a class divider. What do you call it?
It's called Give Us a Clue. It's not called charades.
Nobody calls it charades.
No, Give Us a Clue.
When someone said you were playing charades, you think, "What's this French game?"
No, absolutely.
What's this French nonsense?
When I was a kid, so I remember being at somebody's house at Christmas, and it was when I lived in the. Well, we lived over here, but I was at that fucking weird private preparatory school, and went to somebody's house. For
it's really fucking hard to believe.
I know wouldn't be that hard to believe if you'd had any experience at a school.
Roses talking.
But there were a lot of people with a lot of money at it, and they went for like a Christmas party to one of the houses, and my mum went, "Let's play charades."
What?
I remember. And then, of course, they started playing Give Us a Clue. Like,
oh, yeah, was it like a bit in Dead of Night when they start playing Sardines?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like, what? It was like. It's like, I only found out about 2 years ago that Canasta is a card game.
Yeah.
Because I used to think that was like Charades.
No, isn't Canasta what they're meant to play, what they play in the book of Casino Royale? Yeah.
Is it?
I think it is. Well, it's I not think, poker, yeah. It's poker in the film.
I think he does play
Canasta. Is that not Baccarat?
I think it's Canasta in the book.
Is it?
Yeah. I thought it was Baccarat they played. Which has the terrible line, of course, about to half her would always have the sweet tang of vape.
Yeah.
It's lovely, Ian Fleming.
We played Give Us a Clue one Christmas with some friends, and the title that one of my friends, his name was Goose, that was his name, was given for some.
Yeah. Was it Big Boy?
No, exactly.
Big Boy. Was it Big Boy playing
No,
Jurassic?
No, he looked like Goose from Top Gun.
Right, okay. All right.
And so he had to mime Bohemian
Rhapsody. Is that not Val Kilmer?
No.
That's the other one.
So he had to mime Bohemian Rhapsody. And he tried to do Rhapsody as Rhapsodomy. Yeah.
You see, if you said to my
dad... So my mate was going, rap, ass fucking, rap bumming.
Why is he talking then?
No, the person who's talking.
You see, if you asked my fabulously playful dad to play Give Us a Clue, mm-hmm. he'd have said, get fucked.
Absolutely.
Why would you play that? That's just fucking
nonsense.
I'm just
going to sit here and read the paper.
Exactly.
There you go.
No, it gets fucked, exactly, yeah. 2 words, 2 syllables.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, here we go, like it's a nice bit of...
Let's just come out of this for a second. I've got 2 days of work left at the hospital this week. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Wednesday, I can't be fucking bothered.
No.
Mm. You're in hospital already. Mm. When do you finish?
I'm in hospital already.
You're on holiday already.
Yeah, I'm on holiday already.
Oh, so you want to be there on Wednesday?
I've tied off my last bandage.
Wednesday's going to be fucking minging. Yeah. It's going to be me and Dr. Connachan
together. Oh, no, not Dr. Connor from the human anesthesiologist.
That's him.
He just fucking talks to people.
Who was the... what's his name? You know in Only Fools and Horses?
Mm-hmm.
There was the... There was the policeman in Only Fools and Horses, wasn't there? Yeah.
Sorry?
There was the policeman in Only Fools and Horses, played by Jim Broadbent. Was there not?
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, actually...
Yeah, he was. He was called, like, Strick.
Because they went to school together, didn't they?
Yeah. Can you stop that? I can't try to remember the name of it. It's called, like...
Can you do the music from the first series of Only Fools and Horses, though?
Just take a pause.
No, that's not the music from the first series.
That trap, Craig.
I'll tell you what it is. I do know.
You fall into that trap.
I do know.
You're
what
not a proper
is.
Only
Fools
and Horses. You're not a proper.
The first
offer,
series,
fan.
The music is just take a pause.
It's called like. Was it not called something like
Strickland?
It's incidental music.
Is it Strickland?
Yeah. No,
Strickland's in Back to the Future.
But it's there is quite a lot of similarities, isn't it, in the setup between mine and
yeah,
Only
no,
Fools
no,
and
absolutely.
When you think about it,
that man's got hair like mine. That's how my hair's going to look when I'm old.
You got the older guy.
You've got a lovely head here too.
Who's the Jack the Lad, con man?
Yeah,
from Bald. And then you've got the kind of the muscle, the younger
no, it's
muscle,
cut,
who's begrudging.
Equals.
Yeah.
Right. Are we going to open another? Another window.
Hang on.
Let me get. I have to say, Minder on the Express is very, very room bound.
Well, it sounds
a lot's going on in wee rooms, yeah.
Compartments, I think.
Compartments, yeah.
There's another window on the Cream Guide Films. Oh. Advent calendar.
Ooh, now then. Oh, now it's
is it by Jimmy Savile?
It's not.
Oh. Wow.
The school Christmas card postbox. Did you have that?
Oh, yeah.
Memories thereof. How did that work?
Your teacher would put. Any card you wanted to send to a pal at school, you just put it in the school postbox.
Right.
And your class teacher would generally post one to everyone.
So that. So
and
didn't
that's
end
when
up
I first learned
situation.
That it would say master.
All right. Okay.
Williams, which is nice.
Oh, the time I realised that was I used to get birthday cards from a couple of relatives who would write Master Christmas.
Yeah, no, that was the first time I ever got that was from a teacher.
But I think we only did the school Christmas card delivery thing once. That wasn't something that I did. We certainly didn't do it. Was it a primary school thing?
That's because you went to Queer Fox.
No, but was it a primary school thing?
Yeah, it was.
I think we only did it once in primary school. Unless they all did, it just didn't tell me.
So you were able to put in a Christmas card for whoever you liked?
Oh, no cards.
Weren't you? That's
lovely,
how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice, yeah.
some.
Yeah, well, no, you could put one in for anyone that was also at the school. I mean, you couldn't, like, you know, post something to Ulaanbaatar. I'd be taking the piss, you know.
Or Jamaluddin Abdul Jafarov.
Have a little call out, just in case they're listening, to Catherine and Nigel, the Murray Browns, who I've made friends with recently on Facebook, and they were my teachers at primary school.
Did you put them in the Christmas card?
Maybe I did. No, she never taught me. Mr. Brown did. They were their married couple.
I guarantee
he taught me when
you,
he was a probationer.
I guarantee you I wouldn't like to be friends with any of my teachers from primary school.
Well, it actually came about because I was on a sort of Edinburgh Facebook page, and it was a thing about West Pilton where I was from, and I was writing about it, and Mrs. Murray Brown recognised me and said, I remember you. You were at my time.
You know, here's the thing. It's nice for you. I mean, I would be a fucking mortified if any of the cunts who taught me in primary school got in touch with me.
Really?
I hope they don't listen, though, because of your language.
Yeah.
I hope they don't. And see if they are. Whichever one of you is, you're cunts. most of them would be dead.
Merry Christmas.
I think most of them would be dead.
This is the Christmas. Say that about everyone. Primary,
I don't say that. And that's not true. My primary four teacher, certainly dead, because she died of cancer while I was still at school. Primary five. Actually, he was a great guy. Major Dennis Sweeney. He might well be alive. Because he was like, and this is the point I was
going
to make.
Every part of that name is excellent.
Dennis with one N.
Major Dennis and Sweeney.
With one N. So Major Denis Sweeney.
Every part of that name.
He seemed like a really old guy, but he was probably in his 40s.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble, yeah.
And actually, he was a good guy. So I'll take that back.
Okay.
But the rest of them, one on my primary seven teacher, who was this older guy, very Catholic, unmarried, died, I subsequently found, in a men's hostel in San Francisco.
Oh, really? Well, that's nice.
Why?
He was the one that would invited me and a couple of others. We could take a wee cottage up north just for an outbound weekend. Right. But just you.
Yeah, let's be the past.
Let's get upsetting. Yeah,
but you know that way certainly the way I was, you'd be like, that sounds gay. Yeah.
If I invited for you that night, you'd go, shut the fuck up. Why would I go to the fucking Highlands?
Oh no, absolutely. That's what I'd say now. Yeah.
It's not Glasgow. I'm not interested.
No, I didn't have... I certainly wouldn't want any of the rest of them to get in touch with me. Fuck me, teachers. No, no.
Christmas cards.
What about them?
Good thing, bad thing.
Oh, great thing.
He's gone all fucking queer hawk with them.
I don't like Christmas cards.
No, I'm not going all queer hawk.
Well, I could guess that because you never fucking send me one back.
I'd much rather...
Matter of fact, I've sent you one for 20 years.
Yeah. I'd much rather get the cash equivalent.
No, I have not been very diligent in handing out cards until this year. My dad gave them up the year after my mum died.
Did he?
Except for, like, to closest, my brother and I and whatnot,
this
you know.
This is such a jolly, jolly podcast.
It's a bit of a sweet thing, Christmas.
Yeah,
I've been very diligent until this year. Then I got in my list, which is about 30 people, which, as you would imagine, I've got in a grid and all that within there. And I actually just looked at it and just said, you know, I can't be fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put up a Facebook message.
Did you know?
Which means everyone who I know on Facebook... Uh-huh. We'll get the message and say, oh, that's fine. And I even said, I'm not actually going to claim that I'm giving it to charity or anything. I just can't be bothered.
Well,
and I've actually sent 9 in total.
From a personal point of view, unlike these two cunts,
well,
I still send Christmas cards to friends.
Why buy Christmas presents, though?
Yeah, I've got your Christmas present.
I still send
cards to people.
I've actually got a really fucking nice Christmas present.
Yeah. Very nice.
I've got a nice Christmas
present. But I haven't frozen everybody else out.
Oh,
so
doesn't
fuck
it
you.
Doesn't really matter anymore. You know, it's fine.
Merry
what
Christmas.
Do you mean
it doesn't matter anymore? Don't give me all this Christmas is for kids shit.
I don't think that. No, I just don't really see using the same cards anymore.
Ugh.
My dad likes to try and cancel Christmas every year.
Well, he managed it this year.
From beyond the grave.
I used to go and get my cards. This is rather. There you go. I used to go down to the Burrell collection and buy the sort
get
of
them
Glasgow
off the burrows.
Museums. I mean, they love the collection of Burrells.
Uh-huh.
And get the nice Glasgow Museum sort of religious. Fronted cards, they're not very classy and very nice, but
I get them out of Tesco.
But I now decided that I'm just because also it's shut now. I thought I can't be asked going into town to fucking
quite right
gallery in there.
My dad did buy me some of my worst Christmas presents.
Let's
get into this.
We need to get into this actually because the Christmas presents that not only you but your lovely lady wife get from the family are fucking epic.
Yeah.
Because there are bad Christmas presents. Now let me just say it. There are bad Christmas presents and there are your bad Christmas presents. Which are fucking astonishing.
We must have talked about this last year, Jude.
I don't think we got around to it.
There's like a bottle stand. help me out with that. What even was that?
Do you remember shops like Au Naturel?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they sold cheap shit. Yeah. There was, but there were like all this.
But so you vaguely got, sort of middle
they
class.
They looked vaguely like they might be nice
it's
from
like
a distance.
Graduate students.
So you would get a lot of those little straw baskets with little gingham things in them and all that. Yeah. And then there would be certain types of candle. And they looked good outside the shop, but then the time you got close up, you realised they were tatty pieces of shit. Well, from that era.
Uh-huh. It's kind of pastime here as well, isn't it?
Keep the novelty bottle cover holder thing. And they're made from sort of
cheap metal.
Like sort of cheap sheet metal bent round into it, and you're meant to put the bottle in it. It serves no purpose. It doesn't allow you to chill the wine.
No.
It doesn't help pour it.
No.
It just makes it.
But it was meant to be. Was it not meant to be like a guy with a kilt or something like that?
It's a piper.
So who got you this?
It's meant to look like a pipe major. It's his dad.
Yeah. And then the year
before
that,
he went.
He bought. Yeah, that's probably.
But didn't he also famously have a great Christmas quote?
No, the best one was when he said,
"I don't know which one we're talking about here."
Well, he's not going to give you any Christmas presents.
Yeah, he emailed
but
us.
You were quite
say,
young at this stage, weren't you?
No,
it was about 10 years ago or something.
He wasn't buying any presents for anybody this year, but by all means, we could buy him one.
But the metal holder is meant to look like a pipe major.
Yeah.
But you quite like that.
No, it's not. There's nothing nice about it.
It's the wrong kind of
kitsch. It's the wrong kind of kitsch.
Because to put this in context, your house does have an awful lot of
shit tap.
Yeah.
Hauntological.
But this is, it's horrible.
It's just horrible. It's not nice. It's not nice horrible.
No.
It's horrible, horrible. And then he also bought us 1 year a set of unmatching towels.
George causes some great, apparently drunk acting here.
Because what he'd done was
they'd bought like a range of towels, and then I think and then some of them they were able to make match up. So like, and I think I seem to remember we were all at I was there with my siblings at someone's house, and we all like got all these parcels. So you know it's that thing when you're thinking my parcel is quite similar to their parcel, so I have a vested interest in what they're going to open. So they open up and they've got a set of shitty matching towels. Next sibling, a set of shitty matching towels comes to us, a set of shitty unmatching towels.
Why were they unmatching?
Because they just bought random cheap towels.
Yeah, they obviously just got a job lot.
My mum, in her last years, got an obsession with shopping channels, and she bought an enormous amount of towels in about the year and a half.
Yeah, my mum buys a lot of towels.
And it was that weird thing. My mum, you know, let's give some. My mum died in hospital, and I went through. It was in Edinburgh, and so my brother and my dad were there, and you know, we stayed for about half an hour, and we left as we're walking out. You just start talking about, you know, yourself about you know, how to organise this sort of thing. So, well, I better organise it if you don't know and whatnot. Yeah. And within about 10 minutes, we'd come up with the idea of getting her in a Viking longboat and packing it full of towels and pushing her out into the Forth and setting it alight. And the three of us were pissing ourselves laughing at this idea that it would be inappropriate for June, my late mum, to go out.
Now, here's a question for you. How long should you keep a towel for? I'm thinking about 25, 30 years.
I've got towels going back that time.
There are towels upstairs.
Do you need to keep buying towels?
There are towels upstairs that my great-gran had.
How many towels do you
they
need?
There's some pre-war towels.
We have about 10 towels on the go at any one time.
So the minute they stop drying. But I don't even mind a rough towel.
My mum has 2 towels on the go at any one time. Can I tell you for why? She has a towel and she has a body towel.
That's too much.
And one time, right, my mum was... I can't remember if I told this story or not on the podcast. My mother, for a while, she ran a bed and breakfast business. And one time we were staying there and she came down. I was so angry with the guests because they'd been using my toiletries and I was going to go and tell them. And then I realised that for a face funnel, they'd been using my potty towel.
Fuck. I've got about 7 questions that I want to ask you, but they all involve your mother's arse, so I can't. I'm sorry, Graham, if you're listening.
Jesus Christ!
Also, another thing about you: see, if you buy a new towel, they don't dry very well at first. There's a sort of coating on the toweling.
Yeah. See, I don't like towels that are too soft, either.
Yeah, no, I like
them to be a nice scratchy towel.
Nice bit of scratch.
Are the towels that Roger uses, are they like the fucking mainsail on the Trafalgar or something?
Hey, Rod.
Probably.
Hello.
So now we're getting to the last sort of 10, 15 minutes.
There's a lot of business going on now.
No idea what's going on.
So this is the last night where you have to leave the train.
Yeah. Right. So see when you go to a hotel, though?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Such a nice hotel. Right. For me, it's basically a 24-hour mission to use
everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Every towel, every bit of toiletries. Yeah. Anything that's free.
What about that ambiguous thing, which you can never quite work out if it's a towel or if it's the thing you meant
bath
to put
mat.
On?
Bath
yeah,
mat.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mat, yeah.
I just use it for both.
I happens. Think if it's got an embossed sort of pattern on it, it's,
yeah,
for the
it's probably for the floor. Yeah. I tell you what, the worst thing in the world is a hotel room with not enough towels.
Yeah.
Because you go in, you have a shower, you dry yourself off, and then you still need one more towel for that little bit.
Imperial Hotel London.
Back of your legs. The chin rest between your arsehole and your balls.
So we were talking worst Christmas presents.
Do you get the towel in the bit between your leg and the ball and give it a wee back and forward? I do.
No, I do the sort of like.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
no, absolutely. Yeah.
Worst Christmas presents.
Worst Christmas presents.
That's what we were talking about.
Was it? Yeah. No. Worst Christmas presents was something you really wanted and you got, and then it turned out to be shit. Worst Christmas presents isn't it? It's a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of
it. I know I'm going to, this sounds incredibly soppy, but it is heartfelt. I've never considered anything anybody's given to me to be a bad present.
Have you not?
No.
Have
because
you never been given
if anybody's
much
if anybody's given if anybody's if anybody's gone out of their way to get something and wrap it and give it to me, it must inherently be a good present.
That's actually a very nice thing
that
to say.
Nice, I
think that's
it's just the way I feel.
That's a very fine, noble sentiment.
And it's a thing that I think a lot of people should consider, especially when they see what I've bought them.
I was about to say, it's nice to have such a noble sentiment coming from such an arch cunt.
No, but I do genuinely believe that. I've never had a bad present.
Oh, I guess. It's like, you know, it's going to be your worst blowjob ever.
It's fucking
great.
Right on the money. So, if you'd like to cheapen yourself by telling us what was your worst present,
go on,
Jack.
Well, I think I told you.
It could have been the
Y fronts that my aunt bought me off. We hadn't heard for about 7 years, which had a little line on them. They were brown with a little line on them.
Had she written a number on it saying, call me?
No, but the thing about the little line that was on the front...
Because I've seen a video like that with Nina Hartley. It's actually
turns out quite well.
The little line on the front was sewed on. So it wasn't...
Oh, so it was quite a scratchy line.
It wasn't an illustration of
a line. Was it scratching your wee Jack's eye?
I don't remember where.
You know where wee Jack comes from?
Baldy one.
Dear. So what do we hope? What is it? What are our aspirations for Christmas this year? When is this going out?
Friday, so in two days' time. Genuinely now, just like having a bit of time off, hanging with my family and friends. Nothing too much. I make Christmas not. I mean, you put
play
an,
some board games.
All of it. I've been planning my Christmas.
I do plan it early, and I get all the shopping done and everything done early. And I quite like. I do like. The first half of Christmas Day being me doing a lot of cooking, because then the second half it pays off when I just get to sit, fall asleep, and then eat cheese and port later on.
And so does that mean you don't need to do any clearing up?
None of it. Which is fucking great,
Because cooking's quite fun in cooking. Yeah. So this is the thing, isn't it? Cooking's good fun, clearing up shite.
Yeah.
So when everyone goes, no, you don't, you cooked. Then you catch the thing. And it's like,
you think I've won?
Yeah.
Easy street.
Win-win, yep.
Easy street.
No, absolutely. No, I don't. That sounds like a perfectly nice Christmas day, but my whole year is Christmas, so I'll be over it like Oprah in a baked ham. Well,
you go to Toad Hall, don't you?
That's right. You go to the fucking Seekings.
Yeah, we'll go to Seekings.
Wolf Hall.
And actually, it was filmed down there, some of it. Yeah?
Indeed, it was.
What was?
Some of the Box of
Delights. Some of the Box of Delights.
Yeah, where I go for my Christmas. And then on Boxing Day, Racist.
The Racist Morris Dancing.
Racist Morris Dancing at the Malvern Hills.
Although this year, of course, my dad can't do the sales.
No.
Because the silly old fud had a fall and is hurt himself or whatever.
He's
fine, but he's sore.
He'll be fucking raging on boxing.
So he can't go in at the crack of dawn.
Is he staying here?
He wants to get down the road. No, I think I'll go back over to my sister's again.
And you can do the tidying up after Craig's.
No, I just went on Boxing Day to get away from your dad, who'll be fucking raging that he can't go and buy socks.
Is there a particular sofa that you go on then? in what? Christmas afternoon.
A particular sofa?
You've been in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
So which we have two sofas in the main
sitting. Is there a Craig designated one? Is there like a, is there a cushion there with a bit of a
stain?
Yeah.
Now you see, Craig, now the
sofas.
And there's my sofa.
But that's enough of that sofa. So is there one which slightly smells of Craig?
No. There's no need for that. If you remember from being in my house, there are two sofas at a sort of L-shaped angle. There's the big long one along the wall. Which the rest of the family sit on.
Oh, really?
And I get the two-seater one to myself, which I can dangle my legs off the end of and try not to kick the lamp over.
Does the cat come and sit
on you? No, our cat doesn't do that. He runs it. He runs at my son and tries to kill him.
Closes the door.
And he does. Yeah, he closes the door. That was really weird. But he will sort of walk up and have a look at you and deign to be cuddled. Or well, not really cuddled, but sort of tickled. And but the good thing is that my sofa's closest to the real fire, so I can get a real fire going and sit beside that.
My sister's she's getting the chimney swept in this week, I think, so hopefully the fire will be on Christmas Day.
We're going to get it lined.
That'll be nice.
Now then,
it's lined enough, I just need swept.
So we've only got 8 minutes. So shall we just quickly skip through the rest of the
Let's open all the last windows of the advent calendar.
Rapid action. Okay. So, that's good, yeah, that's good.
Done them all.
Okay, let's go.
There's one left.
Are we ready with this?
Yep.
Yeah. Christmas on ice.
Shit. Don't care.
Bollocks, yeah. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Do they even do that anymore?
Yeah, you would just
they probably do. Don't fucking care. Don't care about anything on ice.
Again,
except,
you know,
except drink and bubby.
unless something is spooky or science fiction-y or funny, I wasn't fucking interested.
I don't... anything on ice... totally baffles me, and it's never been part of anything I've ever watched or any tradition to do with Christmas at Telly.
Next, Noel Edmonds live Christmas breakfast show.
Couldn't give a fuck.
No,
did you ever watch that?
No,
nope.
Well, I remember it being on.
It was a time when it was supposed to be
sort of impressive because you could get a live link up from the telecom tower.
Yeah, or from
Noel Edmonds live breakfast show. Noel Edmonds, Noel's Christmas presents. Never watched
Noel's
any of them.
Christmas was awful.
Never watched any of them. Don't fucking care.
Okay. The marksman.
He just punched the lassie.
Dear God.
Oh, hello.
Do you think Mr. Rycott's going to come
see,
and
now
save
this
him?
Is this is classic Christmas because now the natural villains are all pals.
Yeah.
You see, because Chisholm and.
Yeah.
They're working with.
He's going to pick that up.
Arthur's going to do something now he's woken up.
Yeah, well, here we go. He'll like, trip him up. Here we go. Look. Charlie Chisholm.
Terry's going to save him and then.
Stab him through the
eye. Terry's going to save them. And then they'll just forget about the subpoena. Anyway, right, go on with the advent calendar.
Yeah, kick him in the nuts.
Well, they get the subpoena and do that with it.
Yeah.
Throw it away like at the end of Die Hard 2.
So, the Marx Brothers Christmas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Season of Marx Brothers films.
Yeah.
In fact,
they haven't often have a season, don't they?
They don't have seasons
anymore.
Of films anymore. No,
all,
but when this was just in the fag end of a proper country.
Yeah.
I was once living in, when I lived in the south side of the Millers, a couple of days after Christmas, very, very rare for that house, everybody was out. And I was sitting in the living room, big living room, Christmas tree on, Marx Brothers came on, had a wee drink, sitting with a wee fag, or rather, having a smoke, watching the telly, really relaxed. I just got relaxed. The doorbell went, and it was a hysterical woman, and her father had a heart attack at the bottom of the path, and I had to phone the ambulance and give him CPR, brought him back to life, and helped the ambulance man carry him into the ambulance. And the woman never fucking even said thanks.
Did you not?
Really?
No. And by the time I went back in, my fag had burnt down, that somebody, my drink had fucking gone warm, the film had finished,
Margaret
and the house was back full of cunts.
Fucking hell. Which Marx Brothers film was it?
It was Duck Soup.
Duck Soup's good.
I don't know the Marx Brothers films that well.
Do you not?
No, I must get into them, mate. They're very good.
I remember something happened Duck Soup's
when
fantastic.
My pal Ovi, I remember helping him move into his flat in Edinburgh, the first place he bought, and he lived along from a really good chippy. It was a Saturday afternoon. Well, Saturday morning, we got his stuff in by midday. And the plan was to go along the chippy, get a couple of fish suppers, back to his house where The Quiet Man was being shown. Great film, The Quiet Man, fantastic. Get all that sorted out, his fucking mum turns up. But his mum, being an elderly Indian woman, had made the most amazing
curries.
Absolutely fantastic. That was all great.
Like,
but
it just
wasn't
leave
as
fuck
good
off.
As a fish supper and the...
just peace to watch The Quiet Man.
Last time I saw was at his wedding, which said to me, how did you get so old and fat? You used to be such a nice young boy. I was like, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Ovi.
Thanks.
Next.
Marx Brothers films.
You're a big Marx Brothers fan.
Yeah, I'm a bit scared to watch them in case I won't... You know, when you really enjoyed something when you were younger.
Duck Soup and the Night of the Opera are still as good as
I really like Death the Races.
Death the Races,
well.
Sorry, yeah.
Fantastic, great. Disney cartoons, Christmas.
No, he's not into David.
You also like them because they correspond with Queen albums.
Yes, that's true. Night of the Opera, Death the Races.
You're not mad on it. He doesn't like Disney.
Disney
I'm
cartoons.
I'm not mad on animated films.
I'm mad on animated
Disney
films.
Disney cartoons at Christmas.
Disney now.
Yeah, no, all good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Apart from Mary Poppins, but it's partly animated. But I like Mary Poppins.
But yeah, I mean, there was a period because one of my big things has always been the appropriateness of the choices of Christmas films,
mm-hmm.
and which has gone badly awry, mm-hmm. badly awry.
Well, they just don't give a, they don't even try.
Well, now. The two worst examples that I've ever been was famous. Famously, because I like to think I made it famously so,
mm-hmm.
the just bizarre scheduling of Jagged Edge on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Fucking extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a perfectly good picture.
It's not for Christmas Eve, it's not. And the other
who
one
was
BBC. And the other one, also BBC, which is putting Titanic on Christmas Day. So you put a film on about people fucking drowning.
Yeah, that literally takes half the day.
Yeah, is on that? Christmas Day.
One
when everybody who's interested in that film, it was on 2000, I think, will have either have watched it constantly or have got it on DVD or video that fucking day. It's nonsensical to put it on. However, mm-hmm. this is back to the point.
Yeah.
A few years before that, the BBC saw a bit of sense, and ITV especially saw a bit of sense. So a couple of times they got past this mad notion that there must be a brand new film on. Mm-hmm. And they put on things like Cinderella, mm-hmm. or Sleeping Beauty and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they put them on that sort of 5 o'clock slot. So, there'd be a proper film on later mm-hmm. on that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually the day Cinderella was on, I think Waterloo was on that night as well. So you get like a Bond film in the afternoon mm-hmm. when the dinner's on. Then people would have their dinner. Then the kids could watch like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and so could the grandparents. And the family could, you know, the mums and all that could go on with cleaning up the dishes and all that sort of thing. And then your dad could settle down and watch fucking Kelly's Heroes or Waterloo or something. Proper actual thinking about who's watching the telly.
I'm afraid these days I just basically take control of it all myself now, so...
Well, but when you think that you didn't have... You weren't able to do that.
Yeah, I know.
You just picked a channel. Well, now, of course, you can schedule it.
We'll be watching... You call them with the boy and I'll go into the other wee sitting room and probably watch Home Alone or something.
On which note, can I take you through the 1973 BBC One Christmas schedule?
Just for a go on,
yeah, why not?
The best Christmas schedule ever.
73 is the immense generation game.
So here we go. 5 past 6, Bruce Forsyth and the Generation Game.
That's an immense generation. In fact, it's on YouTube.
7:05, the Mike Yarwood Christmas Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is me.
7:35, the Morecambe and Wise Christmas Show.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
8:35.
Which one is that? Is that a Peter Cushing one?
No, Peter Cushing was never on a Christmas show.
Mm-hmm. 8:35, The Odd Couple.
Excellent.
The news at 10:20 was 10:30, gala performance.
All right.
And the night ends, 11:35, Lost Hearts.
Brilliant. Oh, fantastic, yeah.
The first, look at that. Look,
you've got a wee bit of a sort of running along with smoke. Mates.
That's
the same we do this.
Whoa, we got away with it.
There you go.
There you go.
Fade to photo.
Were you pleased with how quickly I got it?
Yeah,
very good. 1970.
Brian Gammage. That's a fantastic name, isn't it?
I wonder who was the guest in the 73.
Debbie Arnold. That's who the girl was in the with the knockers out.
Oh, I know who's. I think seven.
Not Eric Porter.
I think was it? I think 73 might have been Vanessa Redgrave.
Mm.
The unspeakable Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah, she's actually very.
Oh,
good.
Hello.
She's actually very good.
A bit of interference for someone.
Oh,
sorry.
Whatever.
I think that's Craig.
No, I think it's him.
Be me, probably. Okay.
The Morecambe and Wise Show Christmas Special 1973. Well done, Vanessa Redgrave,
mm-hmm.
Hannah Gordon.
Mm-hmm. The Vanessa Redgrave is the sort of Napoleon and Josephine one at the end, which is very good.
The New Seekers.
Have you got
John Hanson?
Have you got the scrolls? No, it's just the Wellmock.
Yehudi Menuhin. Arthur Tolcher.
Well, the Yehudi Menuhin is the whole. Would you like to appear on the show? Don't forget your banjo, kind of thing.
Rudolf Nureyev, Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, they're all the ones on the phone.
The phone, yeah.
Chinese.
Sully.
Last topic. Can you remember?
The Rudolf Nureyev one is. It's very unusual, isn't it? Why did you think of me? Pause. You couldn't get Lionel Blair? Hang up. And then he tries to do a line to camera and says, "A very typical of BBC."
So the final topic here is when telly takes a sidelong look at Christmas. Any memories?
Is that not
that?
Every programme you've ever watched?
Well, I don't know, because I think television didn't used to lampoon Christmas in quite the same way.
There was...
I think of things like A Last Sage and Onion.
Well, oh, right, okay. Well, I was thinking...
That kind of a deal.
See, in 19... Christmas 2007,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh... Well, it was a repeat. Anyway, problem is, you know, there are all these clip shows and all that sort of thing. There was one clip show that was made, and I think it was actually much earlier than that. I think it was in the late '80s, early '90s, and it was. Did I not show you it? I found it online, and it's introduced. It's like animals in a byre with like the donkey and all that, and they're meant to sort of talking to each other, and then it's clips. But at the time, it was like, but the clips are really good. But it was kind of immense at the time. It's like clips of old programmes. This is brilliant. And the Lincoln material are these donkeys and sheep all talking to each other going, you know. But it's a bit like... Because did we not... showed it...
It's not Victoria Wood or something.
No, no, no. There's nobody's in it. But the thing that makes it particularly good is... And this is why I thought... I would hate to suggest anybody was plagiarising.
Mm.
But you know that Creature Comforts thing? Yeah. Where it's like people talking, they said, well, this is, it was people talking about telly at Christmas, and they made it look like it was the animals speaking to each other several years before Creature Comforts. But that, I draw no inference from that. No. But, I mean, that's the best one of those I've ever seen.
Mm. There
you go. So, Craig, what did you make of Wonder on the Roof?
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? It's nice to see it again. It's probably a bit long.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly a little
long. Maybe, you know... An hour 15-20 worth of action with 10 minutes of adverts would have been fine.
That must
Adam
have been.
Adam Feeds gets punched to fuck at 2 hours.
That's all good.
Yeah, it must have whacked it for 2 hours at least, mustn't it? As you say, the schedule.
Amanda Pace is very winsome and charming.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Waterman and Cole at their peak.
Unbeatable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But there's a bit of me that does think that the true genius of it was Malahide.
Yes.
He's so fucking good, isn't he?
Yeah, he is very good.
I think it suffers through the duration.
Yeah.
It's much tighter when it's on TX time an hour, including adverts.
Yeah.
But, and it's got a great beginning. Is that why you're interested in doing to see how long it would take?
Because it doesn't have the music.
Yeah.
It doesn't intro on then.
Yeah.
And it's like how long... And it was going to be interesting to see how long before you realised... That's what it was.
Yeah,
because it is very unlike that.
It was just the title route jumped into my head just as you got to that.
Yeah, well done.
No, I think Cream Guide Supremo Steve Williams, I'm sure he said a couple of years ago...
Is he a handsome chap?
He's a very handsome chap. What a handsome chap.
That he only just realised, like just then, like Christmas Before Last, that it was a play on words.
I know.
Well, I think it's because...
But also, when you're a kid, when you see those things... You're not going to get it, and then you just take it at face value, don't you?
No, you because Murder on the Orient Express was as
big
I say,
film.
But it was the big Christmas film not that long before.
I think about 80-81.
Mm.
Are you not? Are you?
No.
That's actually quite a welcome thing now in the Christmas schedule, is the BBC's doing Christie's again at Christmas time. Last year they did a very good, and then there were none. This year it's Appointment with Murder or something, I don't quite know. There's something they're doing this year and it's got Toby Jones in it and whatnot. And, and that's a bit of a welcome return to doing something seasonal and proper.
Yeah, like a bit of that. Anything with Toby Jones is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent actor. Oh well, that brings us to the end.
So that's us for a Christmas special.
Yes.
We'll be having, I could unilaterally announce, our normal New Year's break for a while.
Yeah, I think so.
And we'll be back at some time in the late winter and spring.
In 2017.
Yeah.
And hopefully not too many people are dead by then.
Yeah. So you people at home, you have a great Christmas and a really fabulous New Year.
Bye,
and we'll be back with you at some point in 2017.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You have a good one. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Bye.